much about.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Que ven en Bing, me llamo el Dototito que ven en Bing. Quiere decirles que el ojo que tengo bien hecho me da que ver en Bing. Mira, Tijuana, componer lo que ven en Bing. Quiero agarrarme y traigo una puta ya que ven en Bing en Tijuana para tener. Hola, papá, que ven en Bing.
What the hell?
That's a very interesting question. I don't know.
Oh, say does that banner rock it red blare for the land of the free. And the home of the brave.
Play ball.
This is horrible. I want to go out and puke right now.
Good morning.
There's no turning back, no matter how much we wish we could.
And now.
All right, now the moment you've all been waiting for. Lights, music.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Thursday morning. Lisa May went to the play last night.
I went to see American Idiot.
American Idiot.
I love that the crowd is so different from the crowd you normally see.
1,000%, right?
Yeah. I imagine like half those people probably have never been in that theater before.
Or seen a play even, probably.
Probably,
Lisa
yeah.
goes to a lot of plays, and we make sure that she doesn't talk about them. But this particular one.
We're okay with since it's like Green Day's music. And yeah.
It's based on Green Day, and Billy Joe played some of it on Broadway.
I wish he'd been there.
Yeah.
I wish he'd been in
How's
either the
music?
Audience or... Music's awesome.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, is it a good recreation of their
absolutely.
Songs?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they have a lead singer that sounds good?
Yeah, he really reminds me of Billy Joe Armstrong, actually.
So you watch it, and they try to work in all the music. That seems like it's a really, really difficult thing to do.
It definitely can be.
With a storyline involved.
Yeah. So the storyline's pretty loose, really,
it is. Okay.
And open for interpretation. It's, I don't know how to, if anyone's ever seen Hair, it's kind of the way Hair is, where there's a story, but at the end of the show, you're like, so does that mean he... And then they.
But do you really care? Or
no,
you don't really care.
You don't
care.
Really
okay.
care.
So it's not. That's not the important part.
It's okay.
Part.
It's, yeah. The story is fine, but the music is great. The dancing. It's really a cool show.
I went
show.
To see Mamma Mia, which was the music of ABBA. My wife wanted
right.
to see that. And it almost gets to the point where you don't care about the storyline so much as you're kind of interested to see how they're going to work in the next song.
Right.
What's
I know.
The next song going to be? And how are they going to get to where it makes sense?
You know, when we were walking out, my friend said, you know, I think that I have a whole new understanding of those songs.
They're, really?
Yeah, because there are meanings that I had no idea were in there until I saw it on stage.
But perhaps those meanings weren't intended.
Absolutely.
How do you
that's
know?
That's true, too.
So how long is it? How long is the play?
It's only an hour and a half. No
oh,
intermission, which is the best.
No intermission.
Yeah,
oh,
I
good.
Love that. It just flies by.
Good.
It's super cool.
And packed house?
Yeah, absolutely.
People
packed.
Sing along?
No.
Not really.
No.
That's
but
good.
Standing
most
ovation.
Of the time. Standing ovation at the end.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, it was awesome. And a lot of the actors play guitar.
Oh, really?
And at the end, everybody played guitar.
At the end, everybody played
Everybody
guitar.
Picked up a guitar and played.
Every single person on stage?
Yep.
That's weird.
It was cool.
That's kind of strange.
It was after the show was done. You know, they just did one more song.
Right.
At the end, and that was really neat. It got me a little teary.
Really?
Yeah,
you cried at
I got
American
a little
Idiot?
Verklempt.
You cried at American
I did.
Idiot.
Wow. Well, and there's some really touching moments in there. There's a guy that goes to war.
Uh-huh.
And there's some stuff that'll like really kind of touch you.
Do you feel bad now for tweeting that American Idiot was named after me?
Nope.
Not much. Huh?
I'm pretty proud of that.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show then, shall we?
All right.
Let's talk about Allison Brie, who's going to be in the studio.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's on Community, of course, and she's also on Mad Men.
Two very different shows.
Yeah, that could not be any different. So she's going to be stopping by. Beerbong has some interviews. He went to do some interviews for, what's it for, just new TV shows?
Yeah, or? It was a Sony press junket, all the Sony Pictures television shows.
Returning TV shows,
yeah.
Stuff like that.
Pilots.
He interviewed Richard Dreyfuss.
Ooh, really?
Odd, right? It seems like a...
Oh, he wouldn't have much time for mugs, silliness.
No, he didn't have much time for mug silliness.
I can't imagine.
The problem is, you look at a guy like that who's had such a career, And he's probably done way too many interviews. He's probably sick of that process. Right. And then you got a guy like Mug showing up who talks for a minute. You can't follow him.
Tells you he plays the drums.
Yeah, you know, and it's just got to be like, oh, come on. How fast can I get out of this?
Kill me now.
And you'll hear the kill me now attitude in Richard Dreyfuss.
Excellent.
And a bunch of other interviews. What's that, Mug?
How dare you.
Seriously, though, you got that idea.
We dare because we've heard the interviews.
Muggs felt the idea that he had, and you'll hear this in the next hour, but he felt the idea to tell Richard Dreyfuss that every single movie that he's ever seen that Richard Dreyfuss has made. I don't know why.
List them all off,
Stakeout.
Really?
Now, these weird movies like that nobody remembers, and how Mr. Holland's Opus changed his life.
Oh, my God.
The whole thing, yeah. We also have William H. Macy on the program today.
He's so good.
One of the best actors alive. Seems like he's great in anything he does. And his TV show is Shameless.
Yeah,
it's on Showtime. So we're going to talk to him about that. We're gonna discuss a little bit more about this Clint Eastwood reality show. It's not a Clint Eastwood reality show, but his wife and daughters are on it. It seems odd to us that Clint would allow this. Or
he's so private.
Yeah,
right?
And he doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to do.
Mm-mm.
But then he has a wife, and that can go bad if you don't keep him happy.
is that your theory?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. You know the saying, happy wife, happy life. You
right.
know that. Yeah. Steve-O is going to be in studio today.
Yeah.
Always love Steve-O. Is that your impression?
Yeah.
Can I hear it again?
Yeah, dude.
He's going to be playing the Irvine Improv. And we have from 21 Jump Street, the stars. We have Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill in the studio today. Very exciting about
studio.
That. Yes, so that's coming cool. up this morning. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:49. Ralph Garman is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph.
Yeah, before I get to, how about this? Nothing? Got nothing over here? No, paparazzi?
Son.
Nothing? Okay, let's just forget that. I have tickets to give away to a very cool event that's happening this weekend. It's called WonderCon. If you are a geek, then let your geek flag fly this weekend down there at the Anaheim Convention Center. It is comic books. It is pop culture. It's movies. It's television. It is WonderCon. And it is brought to you by the people who give you the San Diego International Comic-Con, which, of course, is the mother of them all. But if you want to go down to Anaheim and check out the event, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend. I have got 4 pairs of passes, 3-day passes. So you can go all 3 days if you'd like to attend the 26th annual WonderCon right now. If you'd like to go, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Let's take callers 10, 11, 12, and 13. When you get through, you'll get a pair of passes to attend WonderCon. And if you don't win, you can still go to www.comiccon.org. And get the information and the tickets down there. It's a very cool event. I wish I could attend this year, but I got stuff going on. So I got a show to do with Smith doing that drunky stoned show.
It is St. Patrick's
Day. And it's St. Patrick's Day.
And it's St. Patrick's Day.
Got it.
It's going to start about noon.
So I will start drinking Friday, and then I will finish sometime mid-show on Monday. So tough weekend for me, but it is a great event, and I've been before, and you will enjoy if you go. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Congratulations to Charlize Theron, who we were talking about just yesterday, apparently has a new relationship with Alexander Skarsgård from True Blood, but now has got a really new relationship. The man in her life now is obviously going to be the most important one forever. And no, I'm not talking about me again.
Oh, that's what everyone's thinking, I'm sure.
Jackson, her new baby boy that she just adopted.
Oh.
She is the proud mother of a baby boy named Jackson. No word on where he comes from or how it happened, but her representative did admit yesterday that she's the proud mom of a healthy baby boy named Jackson, so we wish her all the best.
Well, good for
she's
her.
Gonna make a great mom, that's for sure. I was stunned by this list from Us Weekly magazine. They had a list of celebrities that they claim are addicted to Facebook. Can't stop checking in, can't stop posting, can't stop connecting with friends, just addicted to Facebook.
That's most of America. But
it is
celebrities,
most of America.
You don't see a lot of lists of those.
Tim Tebow apparently can't
is that right?
Get away from the Facebook. Ben Affleck.
Really?
That's weird.
Obsessed with Facebook. It is weird. Ryan Seacrest, it says here. Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's not.
What are they saying about me now?
Yeah.
Right after this. Jeremy Lin. maybe not so much anymore. Maybe during the heat of Linsanity, he was checking out. But this is the name on the list that blew my mind, because I can't see this being possible, and I think this is a lie. David Letterman, they say, loves Facebook.
No way. Not ever.
He doesn't seem like a Facebook-y kind
of
guy.
Not a bit.
No. Not even a little bit.
I put that whole list is now suspect.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But if it's the truth, it'd be cool. Wouldn't it be cool to be Dave's friend?
Yeah. Yeah, try it.
I guess, but do you think he would okay you?
No, I don't think he'd accept me.
He probably has 10 friends.
Yeah, exactly. That's why he's on there. That's probably the only way he talks to people. He just converses through Facebook. Jessica Simpson, she won't stop talking about the fact that she's having a baby.
Sure.
It's as if no one's ever had a baby before.
Yeah.
She's trying to cash in. Looks like the name of the baby that they've been holding on to.
Jessica Simpson?
She wanted to sell the story or something. Has been leaked.
Oh.
So now we know. They've been promising an unconventional name for their baby girl.
Good.
And unfortunately, it's not honked up like, you know, Apple Blossom or Granite or something like that. It's an actual name, but it is kind of weird for a girl. Maxwell.
Maxwell.
For a chick.
Yeah, that is odd.
Named after that what in the butt guy?
Yeah, they just love what in the butt. I can't get enough of that.
That's really weird.
Apparently, it's Eric Johnson, her fiance's middle Eric's grandmother's maiden name. It's his middle name, and so they'll call her Maxie for short. Oh, the playground teasing!
Wow,
in junior high school.
No kidding,
Maxie Pad.
Maxie.
So Maxwell, the girl.
Like, overruled.
Kate Upton.
Yes.
She is a controversial figure. All right, stop it, stop it, stop it. Hey, I can see both your hands. What are you ringing that bell with? She's got another commercial now that's causing problems. I don't know if you saw the story or not. But she's got a new commercial for a skateboard manufacturer called Zoo York.
Yeah.
And they say the commercial is so...
Hot. Yes.
So spicy.
Yes.
That it's been banned from both MTV and Adult Swim.
Adult Swim?
Yes.
What? Where can I see this?
You can see it online. You can go to the Zoo York website. They've got it posted there. I think.
Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
New York Post has it as well. It features two cockroaches who are talking about skaters while Kate jogs by.
That's it? She just jogs by?
And even
by?
The cockroaches go, whoa!
Well, the ad apparently has bleeped profanity in it and an image of Kate's erect nipple.
Look, you can't help what happens. That's nature. Might be cold.
Apparently, there are many double entendres in the story, else in the commercial as well, including grinding, backside, and waxed, which, of course,
I sort of have a boner.
Are all skater terms.
Of course.
So, people, if you want to read filth into it, that's on you.
Filthy, I'd love to get a copy of that.
Filthy people.
Love it.
And boy, am I glad I didn't take any time to look at all the DVR'd episodes of Luck that I've got backlogged on my on my DVR. HBO announced they are canceling the horse racing drama starring Dustin Hoffman and Nick Nolte, largely because horses keep dying on the set. They've killed their third horse so far. They're not even through the first season.
Which is shocking. I heard somebody interview that is very involved with racing, and he said that's kind of an amazing figure.
How do you do that?
It is uncommon and extraordinarily bad luck.
It's a poorly named show is what it is.
It really is.
It's really not luck.
Not for the horses, at least.
They killed their third horse.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
Yesterday.
Did they say how?
The horse reared up and then fell over backwards and hit its head, breaking its neck.
Wow.
Oh, that's horrifying.
So the animal had to be put down, and two other horses got fractures in their legs while doing horse racing scenes. They'd run the horse, and sometimes they'll stumble. I mean, it happens in a regular race. A horse will stumble, go to its knee, and get a fracture in its leg that they can't repair, and so they have to euthanize it, usually there on the track. So that happened in the pilot and apparently the seventh episode of the first season, as well as this one.
Where's the outrage there?
I am outraged.
Now, some people are saying it's because they're using older, retired racehorses for the racing scenes, and they may be out of shape and not up for the challenges of running as hard as they run during a race.
Obviously.
So that's where the problem is. But regardless, between PETA and the American Humane Association... And all the bad press and everything else, they're like, oh, please,
this?
Enough already with luck.
Who could have predicted this?
I heard good things about it, but I like I said, I have all the episodes backed up. I was going to sit down and watch a luck marathon at one point.
Time to delete that.
Now I will free up some room on my DVR.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Long list of celebrities.
Okay.
Kellan Lutz from Twilight, 27 years old today. Loveline lover boy Mike Catherwood celebrates his 33rd birthday today. Happy birthday, Mike. He's not listening to us, but he used to back in the old days.
Nah, he's asleep.
Poor Mike used to listen.
Yeah,
not, not rich Mike. DJ Joseph Hahn of Linkin Park is 35 years old. Will.i.am of Black Eyed Peas turns 37. Eva Longoria from Desperate Housewives is 37 as well. Mark Hoppus, our buddy from Blink and Plus 44, he's 40 years old today. Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray turns 44. Rockwell is 48 years old. Remember the singer Rockwell?
From what?
Sometimes I feel like somebody's watching me.
Oh, is that the Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson's...
Yeah, I do remember that.
Guy who sang backup for him. Rockwell was the nephew or the son or something of Berry Gordy, the Motown exec.
No idea. That's
how so he got much his, more than I ever knew about Rockwell.
That's how he got his deal, his record deal. And that's why Michael Jackson was singing backup on his record.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Bret Michaels of Poison is 49 years old. Fabio! I got hit by a goose. He is 51 years old. Dee Snider of Twisted Sister fame turns 57. And Phil Lesh of the legendary band The Grateful Dead is 72 years old today.
Wow.
He has no idea how old he is.
Where he is.
No.
What he's eating.
It's more bacon beer mug.
Well, that's not possible. But
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
William H. Macy coming up in about 20 minutes.
Oh, nice. He's so much better than William P. Macy.
He is.
I hate that William P. Macy.
William P. is the worst.
Oh, what a dick.
We're always excited, a little extra excited to come to work when we know we have beer mug interviews.
Yes!
You know, your alarm goes off and you go, oh, wow, it sure is early. And you go, whoop, nope, got some beer mug interviews. Fantastic. Jumping out of bed.
Yep.
Not me. I don't want to come to work.
Beer mug went and did some interviews for some TV shows, including Franklin and Bash, where he interviewed Mark, Paul Gosselaar, and Breckin Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Beer Mug is trying to get better as an interviewer. And I believe he may be getting a tiny bit better, except for this time, for some reason... Well, I'll start playing it, and then you can see what the problem is with this particular batch of interviews.
All right, I'm here with Mark Paul Gosselaar and Breckin Meyer. And the last time you guys were on the Kevin and Bean show, you were anticipating whether or not Franklin and Bash would be picked up for a second season. And Franklin and Bash was picked up.
Yes.
How do you guys feel about that?
Just so you know, we were aware of that because we just filmed the second season.
We had to pump that way up. I don't know.
Are you kidding?
No.
You had to pump that up?
Oh, yeah. You couldn't hear him at all. It was just Beer Mug.
Mug? So I was like...
Beer Mug just mic'd Beer Mug.
Did you have the mic in your pants?
Hey, the last time you were on the show, you said you were going to...
Yeah,
the
West Coast Free Realized Bachelor going on before.
And by the way, the first time they were on the the last time they were on the show was when they were kicking off Franklin and Bash, weren't they? It was the first...
It was in between. It was in between.
Okay.
The first and second season. But okay. like Breckin says in that interview, they just finished completely... filming the second season.
So they knew that it had been renewed.
Yeah. It's okay. Kind of old news, I think, was the point.
All right.
Yeah.
You guys were teasing us.
Yes. No, we knew that. No, now we know. We weren't sure before.
Okay, so Muggs now thinks that when they came in, they were teasing us by saying they were waiting to see if the show was getting picked up, as if it's not possible that they were really worried then, and then since then stuff has happened.
Later. So,
I know.
No, but you guys, last time you guys were in, did you really not know?
If we definitely didn't know. If we were in, we didn't know.
We were promoting the first season.
We had no idea.
Why not mic him? The reason is
the endless logic loop of argument in that conversation? Move on. What do you know? Great. Next question.
Well, I was confused.
Save that for your private time.
Okay. You were pulling our legs? You were joking with us? What was going on? Just move on. You're wrong. Just admit, I must have been wrong, and then move on.
So how's it feel now that you guys are ready to go for season two?
Why won't you let them speak into the microphone?
I don't know. I thought I had the mic'd.
You didn't.
Maybe the problem was they were kind of standing far apart, so I was kind of going back and forth.
No,
and
you weren't.
I didn't know who to mic.
Right.
And they were kind of doing rapid fire.
Were you miking the wrong person 100% of the time?
It's quite possible.
I would go with the person who's talking. That's who I would microphone.
See, so if one guy talks, then you go ahead and
put the microphone in front of his mouth.
That's what we would do. You don't have to do it that way. We're just giving you what we would do.
Okay. Okay.
Now, anything that we can anticipate as far as how the second season will top the first season?
Wow.
This is classic.
This is you just talking at this point. You got nothing.
Are there surprises you can tell us?
So the world, and living in the world, when you're breathing, is that good to be alive for you?
Explain this question.
Now, anything that we can anticipate as far as how the second season will top the first season?
More guest stars.
I can't hear what's being said there. What's being said? Why?
It doesn't matter.
Happening?
They're so confused by the question.
It doesn't matter. There's no way to answer that question because it isn't a question. You know what that is? That's the beauty pageant woman who was up there talking about the maps. You know, it's that answer.
Aww.
Someone who's just totally BS and who's got nothing to go on. Like, yes, and 2-4 as which with world and globes and maps and also countries that are also as well, too.
Now, there's two guys that Beer Mug interviews from Happy Endings. Now, I will admit, I have not seen this show.
Funny show over there, ABC.
Okay, yeah. So what I would do if I was doing this interview is I would say, explain to us, you know, for people who haven't seen it, that's my big go-to because I haven't seen it.
Right.
Explain to us, you know, what the show's about and how it works. That's what I would do.
Awesome. So I... I just hit my nose right on the velvet rope here.
That's how he started the interview, is banging his nose.
On the velvet rope?
On the velvet rope.
Well, I do have a big
nose.
How hard
can that hurt?
And it hurt.
How bad can that hurt? On a velvet rope?
Wouldn't you have to trip to do that?
Damon Wayans was so funny, and I was laughing, and I did the up and down laugh, and right on the down.
Banging your head while you were laughing?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my God.
Is this the craziest red carpet you guys ever been to?
Yes, man. Yeah. This is insane. There's like all these people here. It's like long.
Well, how are you supposed to answer that question? Is this the most insane red carpet you've ever been
Kevin,
on?
The thing
of all the crazy red carpets.
The thing was, I was trying to be funny because the room we were in was a small little room with about a 10-foot red carpet.
So okay, all right.
Yeah.
How'd that comedy go over?
I think they took to it.
Yeah.
So we, the listener, are supposed to have some sort of backstory before we listen to your interviews?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Let's get back to serious business here.
When were you doing serious business?
The only
thing you did was make a joke about how long the red carpet was.
And when I hit my nose.
Now let's go back to serious business.
Season 3 of Happy Endings coming up.
I mean, I hope so.
So they don't know yet if they've been renewed.
Well, good. A year from now, you can ask them whether they knew they were going to get reviewed or not.
This is a common theme, is the Beer Mug has no idea where the shows are in the renewal process. But he states facts. That's what I like about him. He doesn't say, have you been renewed for a third season?
Right.
He just states it as fact, and then it may not be true.
So each season of Happy Endings ends with somebody left at the wedding altar. Sort of. It always ends with a wedding. How do things transpire in this upcoming season?
If you don't know how the show works, why not ask? It's okay to say, does every show end with a wedding? You don't have to say, so...
Every show ends with a wedding.
Each show, well, sort of.
How does it transpire kind of, as such as but, maps...
Why is this not working?
Somebody left at the wedding altar. Sort of. It always ends with a wedding. How do things transpire in this upcoming season?
Muggs, what's going through your head at that moment? Because I can tell you when I do my moments with, mm-hmm. when I really screw up, I know that it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I can sense it. I know everyone's laughing. I know everybody knows what I'm trying to say, and they have it before I do. And I can. What's going through your mind when you're asking that question? Does it sound good? Or
yeah.
do you real? It does.
My mind, it's like, oh, this is going all right.
You sound pretty slick.
You don't get the feeling.
I just use transpire.
You don't get the feeling that this is questions going on too long. You're using a lot of words that no one needs to hear, and it's confusing. And
well, if I had that sort of sense, I wouldn't.
That's not true. I have that sense, and I still do it. You realize that you're going up in flames right now. But there's nothing you can do about it. You don't
go
even
down,
realize it.
Go this down swinging.
This sounds good to you. All right. Yeah. Now let's get their very well-miked response.
Wait a minute. Beer Mug, you're getting better at interviewing. I thought you were supposed to be bad at interviewing. You're like
You're like doing well right now. I don't know.
It's kind of pissing me off.
All right, so they've heard the show. They know you're supposed to be a bad interviewer.
If they could hear this today, they would take that back.
Yeah, they would take that back because you didn't mic them
at all.
They gave you a compliment for being a good interviewer. I would make extra sure that I mic'd them when they said that. They were giving you props.
I don't know. Maybe I could have been nervous. And
you could have?
I wasn't focusing on where I was holding the mic.
Right.
That would be key, I think.
Did you
interviewing someone. I mean, I don't have a lot of experience when they're doing red carpets, but I think it would be key to point the microphone in the direction of the person talking.
You did well with it. You did well with pointing towards yourself when you were talking.
Yeah.
You understood that half of
I'm
the interview process.
Ralph, right? But putting it out is
what?
Tough.
That's the second half of interviewing.
I got to work on that.
We're going to have to just practice that with him.
Just have him sit
just
there
do that.
And do it.
I would like to point out, aside from the mic problems, that Muggs did research, serious
he
research.
Did. That's
before
the problem,
these
I think. That he did just enough research to make him.
To get confused?
Yeah, to make him sort of not understand anything. to have some buzzwords to throw out there and yet not really know how they fit into
he
the world.
Each show he was wrong. If he guessed that the show had been renewed, it hadn't been. And if he said it hadn't been, then it had been.
Yeah.
Let's continue.
One word, you guys. Preparation.
Yeah, that's why he's gotten so good.
See?
Yeah.
Damon, Zach, you guys are awesome. I'm going to let you guys do hold on.
What?
Now they're making fun of the fact that he's falling apart.
See what happens when I ad-lib? See what happens when I try to ad-lib? Not good.
Just now. You're like, now.
Seizure. Now they're mocking him hard.
You guys are awesome. That's what I was trying to say.
Cool, man.
Oh, there you go.
So yeah, you almost did it. You almost wrapped it up, and then you just got right in your way.
You just lost it.
But I did do all that research.
Yep.
How'd that pay off?
Not well. I'm kind of upset. Maybe just no research.
I think that might be the way to go for you.
Yeah. That was terrible. I didn't mic them.
Here's my list of priorities if I'm going out to do an interview. Mic them, but be at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then research would be second.
Okay.
And either know it.
Right, know it.
Or don't.
Or don't. Right.
Because you had some half-ass facts that you kind of knew, which led you down like wrong paths, and then they correct you, and then you sound like an idiot because you're wrong and stuff. If you don't know anything, just be the audience and just ask questions then. Just try to get informed from those people. Don't try to state facts as if you know stuff that you really just read off a tip sheet.
Wait until you hear the Great Beer Mug interview Richard Dreyfuss.
I can't wait.
Richard Dreyfuss, who's a pretty serious actor.
And not one to suffer fools gladly,
no,
either.
No, and he doesn't very well.
Oh, no.
No, it goes poorly. We've got that coming up a little bit later on this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have William H. Macy coming up next. We are happy to bring onto the air William H. Macy, one of our favorite actors of all time. Hi, William.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Excellent. Well.
Talking about Shameless, which is on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock on Showtime. This is your second season, and this has been a pretty big hit, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's growing all the time. Showtime is just thrilled, as am I. I can't go anywhere without running into fans who watch the show.
Is that right? Do they bring up this show? What do most people bring up to a guy like you who's been in a lot of great projects?
Well, right now it's Shameless.
Shameless.
There's only about 1.5 million, 3/4 people who watch it each night, but it sure seems like more than that. They talk about Wild Hogs,
yep.
Fargo, of course, Door to Door.
Fargo, I watched a couple of days ago. That's in my top 10 movies of every single time it's on cable or any. I come across it. I have to start wherever it is and just watch the rest of it.
It's a genius movie.
There's absolutely nothing I can do about it. We do have a clip. I wanted to play this. It's not from a recent episode. I think it's from about 3 episodes ago when you were in the bar and you were challenging the gigantic black dude to getting tased.
Right.
And you made the unfortunate bet. But before I do that, explain to people who haven't seen Shameless your character and all the kind of trouble you get into and how and why.
Well, it's about the Gallagher family. We live in Chicago near the Stockyards. I play Frank Gallagher. I'm a drinking, addicted alcoholic with 6 kids.
Would you say you're a great father?
I would say I'm the worst father on probably the worst father on television. Right?
Okay.
Certainly not the worst father in the world.
No, you're the real-life Homer Simpson.
Yes. Emmy Rossum plays the oldest daughter, Fiona, and she's raising the kids. She's the de facto mom. Mom ran away with the minivan, I might add.
Yeah. She's sort of raising you as well, isn't she?
Exactly. In charge of everyone. And it's, you know, as shameless as it is, it's got a moral center, which is really moving. I mean, these kids look after each other.
Yeah, they do.
And this scene, I'm in the bar, the Alibi Bar, where I spend most of my time, the office, as I refer to.
Sure.
And there's this kid, this guy blowing off to his friends how he got tasered by the cops and was mouthing off. And in one of the episodes last year, I had stopped drinking for a while to earn some money. It was a medical experiment, and I couldn't drink, and the kids couldn't take it. So they tasered me and poured vodka in my mouth. So I know something about being tasered, and I tell this guy, you're full of crap.
There's no way what you're saying is true.
I got tasered for like a second. I crapped myself. There's no way you got tasered twice, fought off three cops, ran away.
But you calling me a liar?
At the very least, an exaggerator.
Grand says I did.
I'll see your grand and add 9 more.
Do it! Again! What? Where's my 10 grand, mother?
Yeah, where's my 10 grand? Turns out your character doesn't have 10 grand, what? So he steals a kid. I guess that's fair.
Oh, my golly. They take the youngest kid in the Gallagher family, who turns out to be a little black kid.
Yep.
And they hold him ransom, and Fiona, the daughter, has to bail him out. It's one of Frank's low points. But, you know, interestingly, Frank actually feels bad about that one.
He does.
One of the few.
What percentage of all the bad stuff he does he feel bad about, would you guess?
Oh, not that much.
Not much.
No, Frank's got something to teach the rest of the world, which is don't look back.
Don't look back. Don't have regrets.
Yeah.
Although you really should look back and have a lot of regrets.
Yeah.
But you enjoy the way that you're living your life. There's a lot of... your show's been getting a lot of attention because of Emma Rossum and a lot of nudity. And that's good, but there needs to be a little less of you, if you don't mind my saying so.
I agree. I love this country, and I think we need to keep it a little more beautiful, so I should keep my clothes on.
I'm just saying, Emmy Rossum, good. William H. Macy, great actor. Keep your clothes on.
Well, I got to say, man, some of the ladies sort of dig Frank Gallagher.
Is that right?
Yes. I came home from one of the, when we were shooting in Chicago, and I said, "Look, I got to tell you, my wife." I said, "I got to tell you, I got hit on at my age."
That's pretty sweet.
That's pretty awesome. I think you know what it is not just the fact that you do a little bit of nudity. It's the fact that your character has so much fun, is unencumbered by what people would consider responsibility,
a conscience,
or a conscience.
I know. Yeah. It's seductive.
It really is. Everybody wishes they could live that way, but they just can't.
But he does pay a price for it.
He does, but it doesn't bother him too much.
No, he's a hardworking guy.
Yes, he is. You can watch Shameless. It's on Sundays at 9 o'clock on Showtime. And like I say, William H. Macy, you are one of those actors that if you are in something, I'm automatically there.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you so much.
So totally appreciate the show. Love it. Thank you for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye. 106.7 K-Rock.
Last name. Look at the last name. That helps, too.
What?
Hi, I'm just straightening out your
what
friend
just
over
happened?
There.
On my friend Beer Mug? We don't have that kind of time.
Show me a picture of someone who's not who it's, he says it is.
Look like her?
Yeah, it doesn't look like her at all, actually. And you really should match the first and last name of anyone you're Googling.
I don't read.
Don't. We don't have that kind of time, Ralph. I'm sorry.
I don't have that kind of patience.
So. We have Steve-O just after the top of the
hour.
I
know. He just showed up, and he seems to be in a good mood. He's happy. He's healthy.
We have Allison Brie coming up later.
She also seems to be happy and healthy as far as I know.
We have Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill later.
Jonah looks a little under the weather.
Is that right?
Apparently Channing Tatum. He's buff, and he's handsome.
They've been doing a lot of press, so we're happy to have him here today. Right now it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Speaking of press, I got a chance to see Casa de Mi Padre last night.
Please tell me.
Oh, laugh.
Love
laugh,
it.
Laugh. Laugh.
So happy.
Laugh. So and then bad. I laughed. Here's the thing about this film. I was mistaken. I went in thinking it was a comic homage to the telenovas, really, of the Spanish soap operas of Univision and stations like that. And it has some of that, but it's much more sort of a loving look back at the low, super low, low, low budget exploitation films that came out of Mexico in the 70s and 80s.
Why would he choose that?
Because it's a genius genre, and
it leads to some hilarious, hilarious filmmaking.
That's crazy.
It is maybe the bravest comedy I've seen since Borat.
That's what I like about him is the risk-taking for a star his size.
It's ridiculous. It really was bold on his part to say, I'm going to do a comedy in a language that I don't speak.
Right.
Taking on a genre that really isn't all that well-known.
Most people wouldn't even consider that, and he said yes.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, the Spanish, I think it'll be more fun for non-Spanish speakers than it will be for people who
oh,
habla.
Right?
Because I think Latinos are going to go and love it because it's a very funny film and it is sort of a very affectionate poke at those movies. Which had production values that were so ridiculously low that it was unintentionally comical. Here, of course, they put those all in to be comical.
Do you get the feeling that his Spanish is accurate, though?
Oh, it's dead on.
It is.
I mean,
okay.
It's remarkable.
So people who speak the language will understand it with
yes,
us. Okay.
But those of us who don't will watch, and then reading the subtitles, getting it just a second, just a hair after what they're doing on the screen and reading what the translation is often side-splitting.
Awesome.
And then you pile on the cheap sort of production values and the inside jokes. It's one of those movies, my wife and I were talking on the way out, that it's like you could... There's so much packed into it, you're going to have to see it a couple times just to get all the jokes because there's so many visual gags and things going on in the background and stuff. Boy, I just had a great time last night. And so Will's coming in tomorrow. We'll talk more about it. But it's hard because I want to tell it. It's the kind of thing you want to tell everybody the jokes,
right.
But you don't want to ruin it
don't
for people
it.
Either because you should go early to see this film because
so
your friends will
get,
be talking about it and
spoiled.
You don't want to overhear some of the stuff in there.
All right.
But, yeah, anyway, great, great, great time last night. So we'll talk to Will about that tomorrow. But while we're talking about movies, don't pick up your phones yet. I'm not giving away here, but about an hour from now I'll be giving away tickets to our advanced screening of Hunger Games, which is becoming a juggernaut before it's even released.
Yes, it is.
It's getting so much buzz and so much passion, and people can't wait to see this movie. Interesting story just came out this morning. Kevin, you mentioned you were trying to get tickets for the...
For
opening day.
Friday is the 23rd.
Right.
It's not this Friday, next Friday.
Right. You'd be interested to know that the midnight showing is Thursday night.
Of which there were 20.
Yeah.
At the one theater that I went to.
Already sold out.
The Arclight, yeah.
So much so that they're going to have to add shows, and 270 IMAX theaters in the U.S. are showing a 3 a.m. screening
of
Hunger Games. They've added 3 a.m.
I could see that right before I came to work.
Showings of Hunger Games in IMAX. So if you want to catch it on IMAX screen, Greg Foster, the chairman of IMAX, said the fans have spoken. All the midnight showings are already sold out across the country.
How about that?
So you will be able to see it at 3 a.m. if you want to see it on IMAX. And you have to remember, the movie's only going to be shown in IMAX theaters for 1 week in
wow.
a limited engagement. It'll be in regular theaters, obviously, forever. But if you want to see it in IMAX, they're only showing it for a week. So you have to... catch it, and so they're giving another opportunity at 3 a.m. if you want to go see Hunger Games in IMAX. So about an hour from now, I'll be giving away passes to our advanced screening of Hunger Games, which is not in IMAX. But I'm sure it'll be just as good because I said so.
Yep.
And I want you to be excited. Television news, CBS is telling everybody what they renewed for the upcoming year.
Person of interest? I still watch every episode.
You'll be happy to know, Kevin, Person of Interest will be renewed at CBS.
Fantastic.
Other shows, most of their procedurals and crime dramas are doing well enough to come back for at least another year. Hawaii Five-0 got picked up.
Mentalist
got picked up.
Like that.
Criminal Minds, CSI, Blue Bloods, and The Good Wife, which is my favorite show on CBS, is coming back for another year. On the comedy side, How I Met Your Mother, Big Bang Theory, Two Broke Girls, and Mike and Molly are all coming back. Now, here's everything that's on the bubble. CSI New York and Miami.
Really?
No word yet whether they'll come back or not. Rules of Engagement. A Gifted Man, the Patrick Wilson drama.
He's
a doctor whose wife comes back to him as a ghost.
Okay.
Unforgettable. About that actress. Oh, I can't remember her name. No, I'm kidding, because that's the premise of the show.
Unforgettable.
Is Poppy Montgomery has a perfect memory. And Rob. No word on whether
Rob
will be back.
What is Rob?
That's Rob Schneider, Lisa. He marries into a Latino family. He's a white guy, and they're all Hispanic, and chaos ensues.
How did I miss that?
It's a clash of cultures is what it is, Lisa.
Must be crazy. I've never seen that done before.
And leads to hilarity. It's Rob with an exclamation point behind it, but also in front of it, upside down.
Oh, my God.
A la en español.
See? Is Will Ferrell ripping off Rob?
I think he is. He is ripping off Rob Schneider. Wow. Two and a Half Men also still in discussions whether that will return. So Ashton Kutcher may not have been the panacea to save that show. We'll have to wait and see. Russell Brand now is explaining why he grabbed that guy's iPhone and threw it through that window.
Okay, good. This was in New Orleans.
We all thought when he was in New Orleans and got frustrated by that guy shooting paparazzo footage of him that he grabbed the man's iPhone and threw it through the window because he was upset about that. Oh, no, no, no. That wasn't it at all. What it turns it? Out, Russell tweeted that he can't stand to see someone use an iPhone irreverently.
What?
He comically tweeted, Kevin. This was a joke. Oh. Cannot bear to see anyone use an iPhone irreverently, so I took matters in my own hands as a tribute to Steve Jobs' memory, claiming the iPhone was being misused by the paparazzo.
So he's giving us no info on this, real info.
So in Steve's memory, he wanted to make a point and grab the phone and threw it through the window.
That's
so.
A fitting tribute, I think.
Yeah. Police are still investigating the incident, and Russell has agreed to gladly pay for the broken glass in the window that he shattered with the phone.
But not the phone.
I don't think he's talked about replacing the phone.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Phil Lesh of the legendary band The Grateful Dead is 72 years old today. Mike Love, who was the lead singer of The Beach Boys, is 71.
Still alive?
Still alive and still calling themselves boys, by the way. The Beach Boys.
They are the Beach Boys.
71.
Yeah.
They're making a biography about the drummer, Dennis Wilson, of that band, who was apparently a wild party animal, was friends with Charles Manson. I mean, he was kind of in the center of a lot of cultural events during the 60s. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I read this morning that Rupert Grint from Harry Potter will be playing.
Really?
Really?
Chloe Moretz, apparently, also in the film as well. Dee Snider of Twisted Sister is 57 years old. Fabio is 51. Brett Michaels of Poison turns 49. Rockwell is 48 years old. Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray turns 44. Mark Hoppus from Blink and Plus 44 is
40. Sausage Fest today.
He's 40 years old. Well, Eva Longoria, how about her, from Desperate Housewives? She's 37. Will.i.am from Black Eyed Peas is also 37. Joseph Hahn, DJ from Linkin Park, is 35. Kellen Lutz, he was in Twilight.
Yes, he was.
He played either a wolf or a vampire.
He's a dog.
He was a vampire.
Vampire.
There you go. He's 27 years old. And Loveline Loverboy, Mike Catherwood, celebrates his 33rd birthday today. I wonder if he's still just buying crap from the United States. Whether he's still
on that bender.
You know, when he gets into something, he really gets into it.
He does.
I think Mexico says he still is.
It's almost as if he has an addictive personality, that guy. When he picks into something, he really just sticks with it.
I saw him tweet last night to Allison Brie that she's his. She's Loveline's. Don't get caught up in the Kevin and Bean show.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
This Allison Brie's causing a lot of controversy in our show.
She is.
Bean said he wanted to crash the show, even though he's on vacation this week, because she was on.
Right. Mm-hmm. We said no.
And we said, no, you cannot come back. Yeah, Bean doesn't understand. The vacation
is for us.
It's for us. It's not for him. Because when he's gone, the vacation takes on a whole new turn.
We don't care if he revitalizes.
Goes away or does whatever.
I don't know, to recharge, fix his broken shoulder, whatever the hell he's doing. No, it's for us. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
That music makes me so happy.
Yeah.
It really does.
As it should.
Every time I hear that music, I just get happy. Steve-O is in the studio with us. Hey, Steve-O.
Yeah, dude.
How are you, man?
I'm feeling great.
Doing some stand-up this weekend, tonight.
Yep.
And tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday, all at the Irvine Improv. Tickets are only $25.
Yep.
$25.
That's a deal.
That is correct.
That's cheap to go out for a night.
Yeah.
Yep.
Steve-O, we were just talking off the air about you getting on a stamp.
Right. I was in here... not long ago, and I told you guys, man, I'm getting my own stamp. PETA is issuing this sheet of stamps commemorating famous vegetarians and vegans.
Mm-hmm.
And Bean said, oh, yeah, well, that's not true because they don't issue stamps for people unless they've been dead for like 100 years. And all of a sudden, I got upset.
Now, hold on. Before you go on, Bean is an expert on the post office.
Yeah.
He... I swear to God, this is going to sound like I'm making it up, and it's not possible, but when he was in high school... The poster that he had on his wall was of the Postmaster General.
Okay.
I'm not making that. Sure. It wasn't all a right. girl. It wasn't anything else. So he's obsessed with the post office. So he, and generally, I would say Bean knows what he's talking about.
He sounded legit. So what I did at the time, I texted my friend from PETA, and I was like, oh, yeah, my own stamp, huh? Well, yeah, well, I hear that you have to be dead to have that. You know? they're like, no, really, really. So the day comes. My sheet of stamps arrives.
Sweet.
You know, there's all these funny people on it. Like,
People that PETA wanted to recognize?
It's just the most random, like, batch of vegan people or vegetarians. And sure enough, I'm one of the stamps. And I think, oh, that, you know, that being, and, you know, I gotta take my stamp off this and mail him a letter saying, yes. Screw you, pal. You know, look at this stamp because it's a legit stamp.
Yeah.
But then my dad asked for me if I could get a sheet of just my stamps. And I told that to my friends at PETA. They sent me a sheet that was just my stamps. And
that's
it came,
awesome.
It came in this thing that was advertising the company that made it. It said, hey, turn any picture you want into a stamp, you know, like, you know, make a, wait a minute, we'll make a mug, we'll make a stamp, you know, like, you know, any picture you want, and it's legit. And so I was like, oh, man.
All of a sudden, it's meaningless.
Yeah, not so cool.
Because anyone can do it.
But, I mean, it is cool. I shouldn't say it's not so cool. I'm honored. I think it's wonderful. It's a great way to, I don't know, do something.
If I could send every letter, like I send letters, right. But if I could send every letter I sent with a stamp of myself, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Right. And it's so cool that Bean's not here. Maybe he's not hearing this at all.
No, he probably isn't, right?
Right.
And that's good. So you could still mail
him. There's something to do with this.
You still could mail him that letter with the stamp with your face on it.
Right. But then I would be like screwing up the thing and I was going to mail it to my dad.
Screwing up what thing?
Maybe, you know, I didn't have a stamp missing.
Well, according to you, that company, you could get a hundred.
Right. You're absolutely right. I forget what the company is called, but...
You should get a stamp made of your new tattoo. That's what you should get a stamp made of. Steve-O got a new tattoo on his forearm that is...
It's Santa Claus crucified on the cross.
Yeah.
And it's sizable.
It's pretty big, yeah.
I know, and I really...
How,
like,
do you come up with the idea, I need to get a tattoo of Santa Claus on a cross? It's offensive to huge groups of people.
You know, it was actually a friend of mine has the same tattoo, and I told him, "Man, I love that so much. I might just get your tattoo." And my friend said,
"Is that allowed?"
Sure, yeah. Okay. My friend told me that he loves a lot of my dumb tattoos.
Okay.
So we fired up a video camera and we went off to play a low stakes game of let's get each other's crappy tattoos. Because we're so covered in them. You know, and
did he have to get your face on his back?
No, he got my gigantic fat mud flap girl.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Oh. On your chest, yeah. Nice.
And
she's attractive.
You know, I was home recently, and my stepmother is quite religious, and I saw her notice it for the first time, and the face kind of got really stressed out. And, you know, I went to my rehab this past week. I celebrated 4 years of sobriety.
Congratulations.
Oh, and,
yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And so I went to go celebrate it at my rehab. It's what we do. And one of the counselors there, super religious Christian guy, he looked at it, and all of a sudden I started wondering, man, like, is this something that I really regret? But no, it's not even really got anything to do with Christianity. What this is, Santa Claus on the cross with his bleeding hands and feet.
Yeah, no, how could a Christian be upset by that?
Well, no, it's just a little jab at the way that our society has made Santa Claus the freaking savior. You know, it's like Santa Claus died so we could be macing each other at Target. So.
He explains it that way. I am in favor.
Yeah, it's just a silly jab at our materialistic.
But I can imagine that any religious person that sees that automatically just goes, "Hey, whoa!"
I know, but if they're truly religious and if they're doing it right, then
they understand.
Then they're not judging or anything, and maybe they'll be praying for me now.
Did you? Do you think your stepmother thought that maybe once you got sober, these kinds of tattoos would end?
It
was just the shock.
It's possible.
Seriously, you're still
doing
this?
No, she has to know
still. You know,
you can't change everything.
You can change a lot of things, but you can't change the sense of humor.
Speaking of the sense of humor, Steve-O again is going to be playing at the Irvine Improv tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. Tickets are available for $25 at irvineimprov.com.
Yeah, and I'm so excited. I've got this humongous new stunt.
All right, hold on. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Steve-O is here on the Kevin. Steve-O is in the studio with us. He is performing at the Irvine Improv tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday night, Sunday night. $25. You can get the tickets at irvineimprov.com.
It is going to be intense.
He just showed us quite a stunt that we can't talk about.
Yes, he did.
I don't want to explain what happened because it's better if you see it for yourself.
It's unbelievable. I mean, tell him the truth, bro.
I was hoping it was unbelievable. And I think you'll enjoy it. I just picture you trying to work out that stunt, and I'm not exactly sure how that works. All right, yeah. Steve-O, it's been a while since we've talked to you. We have to ask this.
Of course.
This right here is Elizabetta Canalis.
She is gorgeous.
This photo is her as well, and this photo, and that photo.
Wow.
Now, this is...
You know, I do this.
This used to be the girlfriend of George Clooney.
Ex-girlfriend.
Ex-girlfriend. And then you. True?
Yeah.
Oh, that's my man.
That's true? That's my really?
Man. Yeah.
And I look at these,
I look at these pictures.
Standing ho!
Yes. You look at those pictures, what?
I can't help but Google my girlfriend.
Of course.
and look through.
Is she still your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Un-effing believable.
How did that happen?
Good for you.
I don't really know how it happened, but we had a mutual friend introduce us, and...
We thought that you guys might hit it off.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I guess so, and we hit it off, and yeah.
I'm speechless. I guess you know when you look at George Clooney and you think, hey, that guy has the world. He's the best actor. He seems like the best person in the world. Blah blah blah. You just think she's not gonna settle for anyone else. Although we love you, we've had you on 100 times. You're one of our favorite people in the world. I can understand why she likes you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But high five. I mean, really, that's some good work right there.
I'd like to know what Steve-O has that George doesn't. Yeah. What do you think, Steve-O?
I don't know. That's one thing. I'm not asking a lot of questions.
You don't ask. How long have you been with her?
We've been together for, it's been over 2 months now.
2 months?
Yeah. Like, we've been pretty well living together the whole time.
Oh, my gosh.
I got to tell a funny story, too.
God bless you.
First time we spent the night together, right? Like, yeah. in the morning. Because you don't want to fart in front of like a chick like this, right? So, you know, like, I remember.
I would hold off 24 hours on that.
Right. But yeah. The thing was, I think that what happened was as soon as I fell asleep, you know, I wasn't like on guard anymore.
Right. Right? You can't control that.
So in the morning she said, do you know what you did last night?
Oh, no.
You farted me twice. you farted me.
And did she find that funny?
I mean,
because
she
found that funny, now you know. Wow!
Yeah, she was super laid back about it. What a sweetheart!
Wow!
And you know, we've been traveling around. Like, she had this big job in Italy, and I went out there and hung out with her in Italy, met her brother and stuff. That was intense.
Standing. Oh, and, seriously.
Kevin has never been more impressed.
And we just got back from Florida, and we had lunch with my dad and my stepmom and stuff, and. My sister and my niece. Pretty crazy, man. Yeah.
Dad, Elizabeth.
Come
on. Yeah. What did your dad say? How did your family react?
Here's how dad handled it.
Wait, let me just back up.
Right.
Because the girls that you brought home before, I imagine, were not quite this level.
Safe to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some probably a lot of steps lower. But yeah. Go ahead. What was it like to...
You know, I had been... Because I'm vegan. And when we were in Italy, I was kind of bummed. It was a little bit difficult. I found it difficult because the bread, you mean? Yeah, bread comes. I'm eating the bread. And then it's like, oh, what am I going to order? I guess I'll get pizza with no cheese and pasta with just marinara. So it's just all I ate was bread, dough, and pasta. Right. You know? And I was kind of bummed about that. And so then when we met with my folks in Miami, like this past weekend... We're at this Italian restaurant. I'm kind of like, oh man, here's more pasta and bread, you know? And my dad's like, he said, you know, Elisabetta, I'm sorry, but if I'm just going to jump on my son a little bit here. He said, you know, I'm just going to beat up on him a little bit, if you don't mind. He said, you know, I'm guessing that when you guys were in Italy, that, you know, the relationship was still like more new.
Right.
And that Steve was on his best behavior and he didn't want to rock the boat. And so he's like, okay, I'll just go with the flow. And he's eating whatever, you know, comes. And, you know, and now at this point, he's kind of not behaving so well. He's acting like a jerk and he's complaining. And here we are at a restaurant. He's ruining the time because, like, oh, pasta and bread. And he's complaining.
Thanks,
like,
Dad.
And he's like, you know, he says, I think my son's being out of line. You know, he says, I think that Italy is notorious for great vegetables and it's not really any different than any other country. And if my son would just do a little planning and be a little bit more respectful, maybe you guys could go out and eat and enjoy yourselves.
Wow.
You
know?
Oh, my God.
Is Dad trying to steal her? What's happening?
But Dad made it, and I told him after the meal, I said, Dad, I want to thank you for that attitude adjustment.
Really?
Yeah. And it's just wild. Yesterday she called me out for such similar stuff. She was like, you know, your dad, what he was saying was right, you know, and she called me and I was sitting here thinking, like, you know, wow, like, here she's giving me like calling me out on my character defects and she's right and like, oh, you know, and like, here she's making me a better person, like God bless her.
Standing up, seriously.
everybody up.
Yeah,
you up, you gotta get up too.
I could not be more proud of you.
Yeah,
when are you gonna bring her in?
I you know, who knows, man. I wouldn't be surprised if
that's a good question.
She probably She'll want to have something to promote. I'm sure that she's got some stuff in the works.
Would you get your feelings hurt if we never had you back unless you brought her? Would that make you feel bad? Or?
I don't think that would happen.
Okay.
You know? I mean, and I'm not trying to say that. I just feel like we make great radio when we get together.
I agree. I'm just kidding. You know? I'm just kidding. Yeah. I would.
But I also agree that you putting pressure on me to bring her in is your job as well.
I'm a human being.
Right.
I'm a male. What do you want from me?
Hey, we've got our jobs to do, and I dare say we do them well.
Standing O.
I could not be prouder of you. Steve-O, tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday night, two shows, Sunday night, $25, IrvineImprov.com.
I'm so excited. I got a hotel down in Irvine where I can have my dogs.
Oh, really?
Cool. So,
which dogs do you have? What do you have?
I have two rescue dogs. One is named Walter and one's named Bernie.
Are they mutts?
They're a Chihuahua wiener dog mix and American Eskimo mix.
Oh, wow.
They're absolutely nuts. You know, but it's so hard for me to be on the road, you know, all the time. You know, because like, I love my dogs. Like, every time at home when I sit on my sofa, Walter jumps up and he tries to wedge himself between me and the back of the sofa, and he just won't stop until I put peanut butter on my dong.
Okay, great.
He did not just say that.
On that note, we have to say goodbye to Steve-O.
We do.
We'll see everybody down at Irvine this weekend. Thanks so much.
If you don't know what Elisabetta Canalis looks like, I just posted a photo gallery at krock.com, kevinandbean.com.
She's ridiculous. I won't look.
She's ridiculous.
It just makes me feel bad.
She's ridiculous for anybody. For anybody.
Yes.
God bless Steve-O, though. Standing O, seriously. All right. Let's talk about this weird, bizarre showbiz story that Ralph did yesterday, which is that Clint Eastwood's wife is getting a reality series. Clint Eastwood, a guy who has made movies, he's been a director, he's won multiple Academy Awards. He's the guy that did the It's Halftime in America. Remember that?
Yes.
At the Super Bowl. He's got an amazing voice.
You just don't think of him as tolerating a lot of BS, right?
No.
He's
the opposite of tolerating BS.
And pretty private, too.
E! Network has said that it has ordered a reality series called Mrs. Eastwood and Company, and it'll focus on Clint Eastwood's wife, Dina, and their daughters, Francesca and Morgan, as well as an all-male singing group called Overtone that Mrs. Eastwood manages.
Oh.
So maybe this is a PR thing, but it just seems like Clint Eastwood might not be the person who would be excited about a show like this, so we thought we would talk to him this morning. Hello, Mr. Eastwood.
Can I hear your impression of me again?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I didn't know you would hear that.
I'd love to hear that.
I'd rather not, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. It's halftime in America.
It's halftime in America. That's all. That's
pretty goddamn good.
That's all I have. Clint.
Very impressed.
You seem... is this really happening, this Mrs. Eastwood and Company?
It's really happening.
It is. And you're cool with that.
Well, I'm as cool as I can be.
Right.
Which is pretty goddamn cool.
It is, I know, but I'm saying you don't seem like a wacky guy, and reality TV shows seem like they go pretty wacky.
Let me explain something to you.
All right.
I'm 81 years old.
Right.
My wife is considerably younger.
Yes.
Yeah.
If I want to get any, sometimes you got to give in a little bit. Mm-hmm.
I see.
It's the fourth quarter of my life. It's the two-minute warning.
Right.
And I'm out of red flags to throw.
Right.
No calls are going to be overturned. So I better use all my timeouts.
All right. Now,
get the ball back.
Right.
In the hands of the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think we get the
hopes of scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, I think we understand.
But regardless, the analogy. Game's going to be over.
Right.
And I'm going to be wearing cleats.
Right. Okay. Are you going to be on it?
My wife?
No, no. Are you going to be? Yeah, that too.
I hope so.
Are you going to be on the TV show?
I probably will make an appearance or two.
You will? That's shocking.
Well, it's E, for God's sakes.
It is E,
my
I know.
My whole life I've wanted to be on E.
You have?
Yeah.
Why?
I want to be on the Chelsea Handler show.
Really?
Yeah.
You're joking about that.
No, I'd love to be on Chelsea lately.
Okay.
You think she's funny?
No.
Why do you want to be on the show?
Oh,
I want to bring with me the .44 Magnum,
the
most powerful handgun in the world.
So you're going to say...
I want to ask her a question.
Uh-huh.
Do you feel lucky, bitch? Well, do you? And I'd put one right through her temple. And I'd shoot that midget, too. I don't like midgets.
You don't?
They creep me out.
Yeah. Yeah, they creep a lot of people out.
I feel like they're always looking at my junk.
Well, that's...
Nobody looks at my junk.
But that's eye level for them. I mean...
Except Dina.
What was that for? Who are you shooting now?
Sorry, it just went off.
Okay. Said Steve-O on. Best guy in the world.
Oh, relax.
Best guy in the world. He's the best guy in the world.
This is Beans Weird Al speak again. He just did not... Good guy. Best guy in the world.
Love Steve-O.
Love Steve-O,
always
too.
Love him. Steve-O.
Always will love him.
Yeah.
We'll stop short of saying best guy in the world.
Best guy in the world. We're back in that. Alison Brie's coming up.
Best girl in the world. Right there.
Channing Tatum. Jonah Hill coming up.
Two of the second and third greatest guys in the world.
Behind Steve-O.
This week's all best guys in the world. Where do you put Will Ferrell's coming on the show tomorrow?
Best guy in the world.
Oh, he's the best guy in the world.
I have a lot of best guys in the world.
You are a whore. You throw yourself around like a slut. You are a compliment slut, sir. That's what you are.
Time for the showbiz.
Save it for someone you love, as my mother once said to me. You saw where that got me, didn't it?
Who's the best showbiz guy in the world?
Yeah. Well, now you're speaking the truth.
Oh, yeah, now.
I promised you an hour ago I'd give away tickets to the very special K-Rock advanced screening of The Hunger Games. I am a man of my word. But here's a trivia question you're going to have to answer in order to get them. This Hunger Games thing, by the way, is just blowing up. It's just nuts.
Early reviews, too, are that it's a great movie.
People are saying it's terrific.
Yeah.
Lisa read the book. She always said it was better book series than the Twilight books, which is a... The only reason I compare the two is because it's kind of a similar phenomenon. The people who read the books are sort of diehard fans, and they're looking forward to this film series very much. The movie's going to be on IMAX screens across the U.S. of A., but only for a week.
I wonder why they're doing that.
I don't know why it's a limited engagement.
Never heard of that before.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I do know that all the midnight showings, the Thursday before it comes out, the 22nd, midnight... I guess it would be the 23rd, technically, after midnight, right? They're all sold out, so IMAX has added 3 a.m. screenings as well on Friday morning at the IMAX screens.
That's a tough time to see a movie, but all right. I guess people who are excited about it will do it.
Not for you,
have
Kevin.
Been standing in line for
go
a week.
Friday morning at 3:30 a.m. Go up to Universal IMAX here, and then just come
right to work.
Yeah,
what a great plan that is.
Yeah.
I'll bet IMAX has an engagement that they've already promised.
That's
a
what
week
I'm thinking. Maybe
now.
They're booked.
The 23rd or a week after that.
Yeah, right? Maybe they're booked with some other feature, and so that's why they had to do a limited release.
That'd be cool.
People are crazy about it. All right, here's my trivia question. If you are a Hunger Games fan, you may know this. I hope you do.
Okay.
Let's say, how many pair am I giving away here? Where's my sheet of information? Where's my sheet of integrity?
Yeah,
three.
Total,
I have three winners. So I'll take the first three people who get the correct answer, who get through at 1-800-520-1067. Here's your trivia question. The Hunger Games, the books, and apparently the film, are influenced by a lot of classical influences.
Okay.
A lot of Roman mythology in there, a lot of Greek mythology. What character in Greek mythology served as the inspiration for The Hunger Games and its main character, Katniss Everdeen? That's the question I'm asking. What Greek myth and what character in Greek mythology was the inspiration for this? Call right now if you know the answer. 1-800-520-1067. First three people get through with the correct answer, get a pair of passes to our advanced screening of Hunger Games. So that means you get to see it before anybody else. It's pretty cool.
Awesome.
I read all those books. I have not a clue to the answer.
We're doing it at the ArcLight. The ArcLight on March 19th will be the screening, and then March 23rd, as we mentioned, the movie will be in theaters everywhere. Snooki from Jersey Shore wants her pregnancy to be special.
Yeah.
And that goes all the way through the delivery. Pauly D, her buddy from the Jersey Shore, has announced that Snooki asked her to DJ during her labor. She wants Pauly D in the delivery room on the ones and twos, spinning the wheels of steel while she's bearing down and pushing.
Well, this could be a show, people.
She wants the baby to come out fist pumping, I'm guessing. That's what she wants.
Shut up, Snooki.
We'll have to take the baby away soon after.
They get the rest of the cast in there fighting.
Imagine that noise going on. Yeah, just hand out glow sticks and drop a disco ball. Give the doctor's E and let's just go full bore.
You have the situation running headfirst into a wall.
That's right. Let's just have a party. Pauly has respectfully declined, he said. I have no intention of witnessing that, he said. But he did offer to spin some tunes at her baby shower, so maybe they'll make a concession there.
Wow.
Yeah. She wants him to DJ at her birth.
Shut up, Snooki.
You know, most women want to do it in a pool of warm water, you know. I mean, there's different... Have a dolphin deliver it. I mean, there's all kinds of sort of spiritual, peaceful ways to do it. She wants to do it as if she's on the dance floor at Karma.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Maybe she just wants to dance it out. No?
She'll be on...
She's going to dance out there?
She'll be doing the Jersey Turnpike and just drop the baby on the floor of the delivery room.
Maybe that's her plan. I don't know.
Yeah, I like it. Gillian Anderson.
Haven't heard her name in a while.
Well, she's been very busy, Kevin, but she's been working in the UK. You know, originally she's British. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did not know that.
Born in England. Came to America very young. Was raised here, but then moved back. Has family back there. Married a Brit, I think. Lives there and works a ton over in the UK in television and film over there. She was most recently in...
Something House?
The miniseries. Yeah,
yeah,
what the heck was that? Over there
on
the BBC.
The
I can't think of it either, but... she, of course, of the X-Files. That's where we first fell in love with her. She is admitting to Out Magazine, which, as you can imagine, is a publication for gay and lesbians.
What?
That she's had her fair share of lesbian relationships.
That's what I'm talking about.
And was in a long-term relationship with a woman when she was in high school.
Bleak House.
Bleak House.
That's
Thank
it.
You. And that was the name of it, yeah. She said, even then, she knew she wasn't 100% gay. But she enjoyed her relationships with women, even though she's been married twice and has three kids now. She said she thinks now it's a safe time in her life. She can talk about her sexual past. And she
That's
said
so hot.
She had some great lesbian experiences.
All right.
To which I say...
Kudos.
Kudos. While we're talking about things hot and sexy, Kate Upton.
Yes.
Of course, the cover girl for Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition this year. She has got a new commercial for the skateboard manufacturer Zoo York. That is so over the top, according to some, that it's been banned by MTV and Adult Swim. Now, what do you have to do to get banned by those networks?
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, the commercial's available on YouTube if you want to check it out. Just punch in Zoo York Kate Upton. And it's basically two cockroaches having a conversation. One is talking about skateboarding. The other one is talking about Kate Upton. One's talking about how they love to be grinding in the backside and how it should be waxed. And the other one thinks he's talking about Kate Upton. He's like, yeah, backside, frontside, whatever you need. So they thought it was too inappropriate. It's just two cockroaches talking. Of course, it is Kate Upton jogging in the park as well. And one censor claims you can clearly see Kate's erect nipple in one scene. But she's wearing clothes. I mean, she's
Remember
got a top
Charlie's
on.
Charlie's Angels? We
yeah,
saw them
some nipples all
the
time.
Time.
When did we become a no-nipple country?
What is happening with the nipple?
I am pro-nipple. I just want to go on the record by saying I am in favor of nipples, always have been, and dare I say, always will be. So there you go. There's her erect nipple right there. And you guys are watching the video right now.
Oh, yeah.
See, and there's a cockroach.
Good radio, guys.
Yeah. Shut up, Lisa.
Oh, there she is. Oh, oh,
she's stretching. Oh, you have to stretch before you run.
Yeah, see, they're waxing it down. See, wax that. He says, I'll wax that.
Okay.
There he comes. He's skateboarding.
We'll watch it
ourselves. Oh, no, the roaches. One roach says, I got to get out of here.
She's jogging.
They're coming. They're coming towards me. And they sure are. And then one roach leaves, and the other roach, bam. Yeah, see? Bam.
Wow.
Bam. And then he says some profanity there. But
sweet. There. That's good. Let's watch it again.
No, it's not. Dude, let's get an answer to my trivia question, shall we? Do we have a caller who got through with my trivia question? What character in Greek mythology served as the inspiration for the Hunger Games and, of course, its main character, Katniss Everdeen? I believe line 7 is our winner. I don't know this person's name, but they were the first person to get through.
The phone screeners would not tell us. Hello, who's this?
This Mike?
Yes, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike. What character in Greek mythology served as the inspiration for Hunger Games?
Theseus.
Theseus is correct.
Like everyone didn't know that.
I didn't have to tell you, Kevin, but Theseus, of course, was the king founder of Athens.
Yeah, of course.
And Athens periodically used to have to send 7 girls and 7 boys over to Crete, and they would put them in the labyrinth maze, and they would be devoured by the Minotaur.
Oh, dear God.
I don't even know what that is.
In order to keep Crete satisfied, that's what they do. They had to sacrifice their young. And
I don't
know
who any of those people are.
This, of course, has a similar premise to Hunger Games.
Sure.
That's where it all ties in. And Amanda and Priscilla also knew the answer to that. Congratulations, guys. You're all going to our advanced screening of Hunger Games. You get to see it before anybody else. Thanks to those of us here at K-Rock. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kellan Lutz from the Twilight movies is 29 years old today. Loveline host Mike Catherwood is 33 years old. By the way, Mike has laid claim to our next guest, Alison Brie.
He has. I know. He's fighting for her.
He's marking his territory somehow.
Yeah.
Which I say, pshaw.
He says that.
I know. It's a little strong, but I'm sticking with
You're
pshaw.
Going with pshaw?
I'm going with pshaw.
Wow.
DJ Han, Joseph Han of Linkin Park, is 35 years old. Will.i.am of Black Eyed Peas is 37. Eva Longoria from Desperate Housewives is 37. Mark Hoppus from Blink and Plus 44 turns 40 years old today. Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray is 44. Rockwell. Somebody's watching me. We got to get that. We got
to
get a little piece of that song.
Omar, we have to?
Omar, if you can hear me, we need a little piece of Somebody's Always Watching Me.
Okay.
He's 48 years old. Brett Michaels of Poison's 49. Fabio, if you will, is 51. Dee Snider of Twisted Sister turns 57. And I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 11 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Bree's rocking out over here.
I was dancing.
She's going nuts.
Kevin and Bean Show, Alison Bree is in the studio with us.
We have to get her a cage and some go-go boots.
Hey.
Good to go.
Look, anytime nuts are involved, I'm around.
Let's give Alison the proper welcome, by the way. Star of Community and of Mad Men, and apparently of the dreams and fantasies of several of our coworkers.
Yes.
Mike Catherwood from Loveline won't give you up. He says he owns you, and we don't have a shot.
Look, they love me at
they
Loveline.
Do. They do.
I give really good advice about that kind of stuff.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah.
From your best experience with addiction and sexual perversions?
Obviously.
And Bean, our own Bean, is obsessed with you, and unfortunately he's on vacation this week.
So we did it on
Bean.
Purpose. It's so great because he's so obsessed with you that when he goes on vacation, we go, let's book Allison now, and then she can come in.
We always try to get his
burn.
Favorites on when he's not here.
Yeah.
I love that.
It drives him crazy. We may call him in a few minutes, as a matter of fact, and leave kind of half a message.
Oh, yeah, let's.
We did that with Weird Al, where we were like, because he loves Weird Al, too. Don't ask. And
look, anyone with the name Al. He's just like got
true.
An owl fetish.
That's a good
true.
Point. We
that
didn't,
could be.
We didn't realize the through line.
That could be. Maybe it's just an owl fetish.
Yeah. Remember Gore? Gore? He was nuts for Gore.
He was nuts for Gore, yeah.
He was on that fan. Global warming train early on.
Play us the message from your sister on your
Oh, my God, you guys. My
phone.
Sister, the biggest fan.
What's her name?
Lauren.
Okay.
Lauren Brandenstein. She's listening now.
Thank you, Lauren, for hassling your sister.
This is
coming on the
this
show.
This is her.
I've been waiting for this day to come for so long. When you're going to do Kevin and Dean, my favorite people. And you're calling bye.
And you're calling bye.
Yep.
That's
the longest my sister can leave a message before I call her back immediately. Like, what? What's going on? What are my ground rules for Kevin and Bean?
So did you know she was calling about this show, or did you just see she was calling?
No, I just saw she was calling.
And she's crazy.
Well,
so.
Lauren listens.
Whoa, she's not crazy.
Well,
don't get me in trouble, guys.
Yeah. You said
she's
earlier she was crazy.
She's amazing.
Before we went on the air, you said she's crazy
for you guys.
I don't remember that part.
She should be committed. I remember you saying that earlier.
Crazy amazing.
amazing.
That's what you said. Crazy amazing.
That's what it was.
In the urban sense. She's crazy, yo.
That shit cray.
Here's the, you just used cray. Nice.
You did. Here's, I dropped a cray.
You did. You dropped a cray. I haven't even tried dropping a cray. I don't think I
could. We can't get away with it.
I don't think I could.
I'm pretty great with dropping a cray.
You threw it down like it was nothing.
Allison's got street cred.
She
does.
That's
what it is.
I do.
That's the difference between her and us.
So you got community going on.
Yeah,
and Mad Men.
Back tonight. Oh, my God.
You know, it's great. Community for you is a good job to have in between the 3 years they do Mad Men season.
That's true.
You'd be on unemployment if you had to wait for another season of Mad Men. So
it's,
community fills the gap, which is
true.
Nice.
It's
for a couple
true.
Of years.
That's pretty much all it is to me, just a gap filler community.
here's the trailer for tonight's episode.
Beginning March 15th, one community.
Not a lot of people get a second chance.
Will rise again.
All difficult things are better, like carrying a disease or holding in a fart right now.
And everything we know.
What if we purged all the weirdness from our systems?
Will Chang. All the drama.
Passing grade? Like a C? Why don't I just get pregnant at a bus station? How long does peyote last?
I was wondering how long it would take for things to get back to normal.
Let's burn this mother down!
There you go, so. That's community. Wow,
very special. Very special community.
It's a very important community.
I want you guys to know that it is really difficult to hold in a fart right now.
Are you experiencing that right now?
Thank you for sharing that, Allison.
I mean, I said right now, but,
but we don't
there's
know what
no
you
way
mean
for
right
you
now.
Guys to know if I really meant it.
Yeah.
I guess
I'm going to turn on
see.
That mic that's down by your ass.
Yeah. Turn on the ass mic,
oh,
would
no,
you please?
No, not the ass
the
mic,
ass
no.
The mic is on. What do you want me to do? Allison Bree is in the studio. We need to take a break.
No, come on. We haven't even quick. Gotten into things
real
yet.
Real quick. We'll take a
her
break.
Her sister is listening,
I
Kevin.
Know. Wow. How does that change
she doesn't
things?
Want to hear music and commercials. She wants to hear her sister.
We'll take a quick break and we'll come back.
Oh, you're the worst.
Allison Bree is here. We'll be you don't have to tell me. Sometimes you just have to shake that ass.
It's true.
You know what I mean? Sometimes.
Allison can't stop dancing this morning.
That's right.
It's true. I can't stop.
She's got something the music in her.
Being
and she's
here.
On E.
And you do?
I told you not to tell anyone.
Oh, sorry.
She's rolling.
You don't call it E anymore.
Oh, we don't? What do we call it now?
I don't know. It's got new names.
Is that right?
That's what I hear on the street.
I dropped Ziggy Stardust last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazeballs.
Totes cray.
Amazeballs.
Tell us about being on Community with that big of a cast. Is it difficult? Is it
what
fun?
A funny
it's
cast
so
of
fun.
People.
Everybody's so funny. We just laugh constantly. It's so fun. It's like your family. You check in. We see each other every day. We tell each other everything.
Does it sort of feel like you don't have much responsibility because there's a lot of you sharing it?
You know, I think it more just, it just feels like a super safe environment to try anything and have a lot of fun, which I think is conducive to good comedy because you don't feel inhibited. We're, you know, Donald's dropping his pants between takes and then I drop my pants between takes.
Sure.
It's a pants off.
And Chevy drops his pants between takes.
Chevy drops his pants.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm.
Joel drops his pants.
Nope, right there we got to draw the line.
Yeah. I don't want to even
right?
think about that.
Gross.
You guys bust up a lot while you're filming?
Do you guys
have problems? I was getting through scenes because I would think
you'd be
busting up left and right.
Thank you. Yeah. I used to be really good at keeping a straight face, and Ken Jeong and I had like a thing because he would get so mad because Ken is so funny and I would never break. He was like, I don't understand it. I don't understand why I can't break you. You're
oh,
like
so
a rock.
It was like a challenge.
It was
then.
A challenge. Right. And I was like, I will never break. And that's just totally gone.
Don't
I fully
tell that
abandoned
to him.
It. No, by now I just fully laugh until I cry constantly, but usually at my own jokes because nobody else is laughing.
Yeah.
So I have to.
We have to lead. Have to, sometimes like, you have to lead by example.
I have to be my own hype man. Like,
hey, everybody. Did you hear what I just said?
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? I said, be my own hype man. So funny.
That was cray.
Is it true Ken's got some catchphrases he uses to try to get himself serious in order to get through scenes?
Oh, yeah. Did he tell you that?
No, I've heard. I've heard from mutual friends that he has some...
Dead babies.
Yeah, right.
He does that?
He,
whoa, really?
He goes through a couple
he
mantras.
Say,
he has a couple
not,
mantras,
that was
right?
a loose example. Right. Ken may not say that exact thing, but he does. He goes into kind of...
Super serious.
Dark, super dark places
to get,
to get,
him, get his act
serious.
Back together again.
But it kind of just cracks the rest of us up, because then you're looking at this person saying something like, dead babies.
Cancer, dead babies, cancer.
Cancer. And like, but then he can't stop laughing.
I'd laugh harder.
Weird... Yeah, it's like a weird bipolar situation.
He's got a bizarre story. He used to be a doctor, isn't
oh,
that
yeah.
right?
Yeah, he oh,
was
yeah.
the real deal.
And started acting and still had patience for a while.
Started doing stand-up. Yeah. He went out and
totally
started
legit.
Chasing his dream.
Can you imagine going to a movie and going, that's my doctor?
I know.
That'd be so weird. Like, I need to change doctors right now.
I picture him as, like, the funny doctor then, like, telling jokes while you're in the room. And you're like, all right, doc. Just
keep the jokes to a minimum. I want some seriousness from you.
Just tell me what's going on with my lymph nodes.
Now, how close do you have to stick to the script? Or are you allowed to just wing it?
You know, we stick pretty close to the script. We actually do. I feel like they let the guys play a little more because they're really funny. Like Donald and Joel, I think, will kind of play it fast and loose a bit more. But us girls just try to work in some physical stuff more. We're more into the physical stuff, if you know what I mean.
I think we do.
We don't. We'd like to see what you mean.
Pants off, physical stuff. What the hell's going on over
just
there?
Look, I'm just going to take my pants. I'm wearing shorts, but I'm just going to take my shorts off.
All right.
Right now.
If you insist.
Your sister's listening, you know.
And my mom.
Oh, yeah. We have your
shout out
to mom.
She was dying for a shout out. Mom.
Mom.
Mom, I'm one button
away
open.
from no pants.
I want you to know.
You must be so proud of Allison. She's almost pantless on the radio.
Only one button, Mom.
But it's still there, the button, for now.
It's there, but it's unbuttoned.
Right. Can you stay for another break? Because we haven't talked about Mad Men yet.
All right, talk a little about that. You saw it last night, right? Yeah. You saw the first episode last night?
I did.
Oh, I'm so jealous. And maybe we can give Bean a call, too, since she's such an Allison Brie fan.
Not Bean.
That's what we say. All right, we will take a break and come back with Allison Brie on the Kevin and Bean Show. Allison Brie's in the studio with us.
You know, she's pretty charming.
She's very charming.
I can see why Mike Catherwood and Bean Baxter have sort of laid claim to her.
But can they lay claim? I mean, is that something that can happen? Or?
No.
I don't think so.
Right?
So.
Come on. You don't plant a flag on Allison and then she's yours.
It's right. Wait a minute. There's an idea. Now that her shorts are off, I'd like to plant a flag on Allison.
Hey, there will be no flag planting today.
Because now she's drawn a line. Now she's got morals.
Her mom's listening. Okay. What we do off the air, she doesn't have to know.
Yes. All right. Okay. Maybe tomorrow I'll just swing back by. And maybe in the neighborhood.
So last night, you're at a party and a premiere for the first episode of the new season of Mad Men. Is that correct?
Yes.
Tell us everything that happens in the first episode.
Okay.
Imagine. It doesn't come out until the 25th, right?
Yeah,
25th. Not until the 25th.
2 hour, right? 2 hour special.
2 hour
premiere?
Special, yeah. And
John Hamm directed.
Incredible.
Am I mistaken?
You are mistaken.
He did
not direct
the first one?
Jennifer Getzinger directed. He directed the first episode that was shot, but I think it's going to air second.
Oh, I got you. Okay. What was that like, being directed by Hamm? Are you in the episode that he directed?
I can't say anything about that, you guys.
Well, I'm not.
You can say what it was like, to have the experience, him as your director,
right? I can't say anything else. I know you're trying to get me in trouble.
Somehow. I thought maybe your personal take on something we could get from. I'm not looking for plot points.
Right. He's not asking you what happened. He's just saying, how is it to be directed by somebody you work with?
A coworker.
Look, it's always amazing working on Mad Men. It's a gift to be on that show.
Wow. Is your life being threatened right now?
Look, I don't
she's
know
got one
what
of those red laser dots
about.
In her forehead from the other room. Someone's got a sniper rifle on
Community,
her.
Community, she'll tell everything. Mad Men, she can't even talk about.
Yeah.
I'm surprised she let us know he did direct an episode.
I know, I'm already worried.
No, that was out in the press.
That was out there. People knew.
Yeah. Is it a good experience?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. All right, we're making
everything
progress.
About the show is a good experience.
We're making progress. All right.
You've made no progress.
Does he direct shirtless? Does Hamm direct shirtless? In my mind, that's how I see him directing, glistening with sweat and, like, directing shirtless.
I just always like to picture John Hamm shirtless. I'm doing it now. Yeah. You said in your mind, and now he's in my, you're like that misdirect. I just misdirected
you,
and
did.
Now,
no
we're going
answer.
Into John Hamm shirtless.
Answer.
Oh, I'm like a
Any
vault.
Questions?
I'm like a crazy
It's a two-hour premiere.
Vault.
You can't tell us anything?
I'll tell you what. We'll leave the show alone, but your TV husband.
Vincent Kartheiser, amazing.
Can you confirm with us, we were talking about this yesterday, that he lives in like a plywood box without a toilet or any mirrors or a television or anything?
You know, that interview, things are taken out of context. And I think that they said his house was a little under construction, I think, at the time.
I heard he lives in a shed with no toilet.
He
lives
in a shed.
I swear to God, we had a half-hour conversation about this in the office yesterday.
He has no mirrors and no TV and no toilet.
He has a toilet. He may not have mirrors. You know, it's been a while since I've been over there.
And only owns one set of clothing.
The last time I was there was definitely a toilet.
Was there more than two rooms?
Yes, he does not live in a box.
I heard he lives in Abu Ghraib. Is that true?
He lives in a shanty town someplace. No. We had a whole conversation about it yesterday. I was like, he doesn't have a toilet? That's crazy.
All right,
it's this
now we've
crossover.
Set
he just lives in a blanket fort. And it's kind of weird.
You have to go knock, knock, knock when you touch the fort. Like
yeah, you have to
knock.
Say it out loud. Yeah.
Have a tea party with him and his teddy bears.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's too bad. I
know, that was fascinating.
I was hoping he was that crazy.
We want him to live in a dark
plywood box.
No, I think it was a construction thing. It was a construction thing. Okay.
All right. Well, Community comes back tonight at 8 o'clock on NBC. Mad Men comes back season 5, 2-hour premiere Sunday, March 25th on AMC at 9 o'clock.
And by the way, I always hear these rumors about Community being on the bubble and they're not sure about the, you know, it's coming back or whatever. The ratings are sometimes up, sometimes down. That's unacceptable. Everyone needs to watch Community because it's really one of the funniest shows on television.
Yes.
And so,
please watch it tonight live. Yeah. That would be awesome.
Yeah, everybody should watch it because it really
kiss you all.
It's one of those shows that deserves to be on television.
Don't
one of the
say that.
Shows
I love
on
making
television.
Promises. I People can't. Will try to, I'm not going to.
Oh, they'll make
up.
You keep it.
Oh,
it
is not happening.
People will try to cash in on that one.
Hey, I heard you say on the radio you'd kiss me. I watched it last night.
I just meant everyone in this room.
Oh, okay.
So
well, we'll try and cash
that's
in then.
Weird.
So Bean's a huge fan. He's on vacation this week. We thought we'd call him.
Let's call him.
Just to be nice, just to say hello.
Him.
Just to say hi. But we can't, like, let's, if he answers especially, we're going to hang up pretty quickly.
Okay.
It's more of a burn. We don't really want to call him.
Boy, to give away the punchline.
I mean, no.
Right. Way to give away the punchline, dude.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
I want to make sure we're all on the same page.
Oh, yeah. Well, you
Thanks
control
for
the button.
Me. Well, I was worried because I don't really want to talk to him.
Yeah, no one does.
No one does.
Barf.
This tape is going to come in so barf. Useful.
Just the word barf.
Yeah, hey.
That's how he answers the phone.
Is it?
Douchebag. He does. I don't know why he says that.
Yeah, hey.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Is this Bean Baxter?
It is.
It's Ralph Garman from the Kevin and Bean Show here.
What the hell's going on?
That was an unfriendly hello, by the way.
Bean doesn't like calls.
Yeah. No, it's very rare when my phone rings, and it's generally not good news.
Yeah. This is good news.
We have Allison Brie here.
Hi, Bean.
Oh, we must have lost the connection. Oh, damn these phones. We
I
always
hate it when that happens.
These are the most unpredictable phones
Did
here at the studio.
Did you hear how excited he
was? That's awesome. I love this joke. Who else can we prank? Let's call my mom.
Yeah, let's call your mom.
Give us your number. We'll do it.
Oh, you got no shirts on.
Mom, I have no shirts. Allison, you're the best. Bloodline can't have you. I'm sorry.
Yes, you're ours now.
You're ours now. We're claiming you as well.
Oh, no, the flag.
We're
it's going
the flag.
In.
The
flags.
Community tonight,
ouch.
8 o'clock, NBC. Watch it live. And then Mad Men, the 25th.
Yes.
Watch it live.
Yes.
Yeah. Super excited.
Because our friend Allison is on it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Allison, for coming in. We appreciate it.
Oh.
Tomorrow morning, by the way, we have Will Ferrell in the studio.
Yeah!
I saw that movie last night, Casa de Mi Padre.
Boy,
can't
wait for that.
I laughed so hard. But I love Will. I am not the best judge of his films because he always makes me laugh in everything he
Agreed.
Does.
Yeah.
But I think this is the best film, overall film since Anchorman, in my opinion.
Wow.
It's so well made and so well written and just a great, bold, crazy concept to do a comedy starring Will Ferrell in completely in Spanish.
Got him in the studio tomorrow talking about that. Speaking of comedies, 21 Jump Street.
Oh, I cannot wait for this.
Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill coming up just after the top of the hour.
Cool.
So they stick around for that.
They played it down at South by Southwest. I had some friends who were down there, and they said the place went crazy.
Awesome.
Just a great, great reaction to that film. And they're going to be down at WonderCon this weekend also promoting the film. So if you're going down this weekend, you can check out the guys. Good stuff. Good stuff is happening on the Kevin and Bean Show. Who would have thunk it? I'm surprised.
Not me.
I'm too. Well, we're talking about movies. Hunger Games is going to be a big phenomenon. 270 IMAX theaters across the U.S. of A. are going to be showing it on their screens. And their midnight showings on Thursday night at midnight have already sold out. So much so that IMAX has announced they're adding a 3 a.m. screening as well.
3 a.m.?
So if you can't get to the midnight showing, you can see the 3 a.m. showing. That seems a little excessive. Although it's only going to be on IMAX screens for a week because I think the next Clash of the Titans movie comes in. And that's already committed to on IMAX screens as well. So it'll be a limited engagement for Hunger Games. So if you want to see it on IMAX, you're going to have to see it in the first week. So check it out. Congratulations to our pal Charlize Theron. She is a new mom.
Didn't realize that was on the horizon.
She's always said, in all the stuff I've ever read, the interviews that she's done, that marriage for her was something she was never really sold on. She was never sure if she could see herself being married. But being a mom is something she's wanted to do since she was a little girl.
Wow.
So she's always wanted to have a child. And now she is the proud mom of a baby boy named Jackson, which is a great name, by the way.
That is a great name.
And, yeah, so no word on how it all came about and everything, but not that it really matters. She adopted a baby boy, and now she's a happy new mom. So congratulations. While we're talking about babies, Superman actor Brandon Routh
and his wife, actress Courtney Ford, are expecting. She's on Parenthood, if you know her. And Stifler's off the market, ladies.
Uh-oh.
Sean William Scott got engaged to his girlfriend, Lindsay Frimott.
What's her name?
Lindsay Frimott.
Okay.
I think that's how you say it. F-R-I-M-O-D-T. Frimott?
Yeah.
She is a former Victoria's Secret model.
Oh.
So, okay. Well done, Mr. Scott.
All right, then.
Lindsay Lohan! Still no word yet whether she'll be charged with hit and run after she tapped the manager of the hookah lounge yesterday. We're still waiting to hear. I think she did us all a service once again.
But I agree.
Anyone who runs a hookah lounge deserves to be run over. So
there's a hookah lounge by my house, and it's really? Almost always empty. Almost always. I never see anyone there.
Well, it's because it's hookahs. Because it's just dumb. You just go in there, sit around, and you smoke out of a communal water pipe. It's just dumb. They used to do it in the desert with the sheiks and stuff because that's all they had. But right. Now we have pipes and cigarettes and individual smoking devices.
You can smoke
devices.
Your own.
I can just stay at home and smoke. Right. I don't have to go to a place where I sit around with a bunch of people just pulling on a pipe. I can pull on my pipe at home if I want to. Hookahs. Get me started on hookahs. I think if you saw Lindsay Lohan get into a motor vehicle.
Yes.
Immediately, you do not want to be within 30 feet of her at any
good
point.
Good point.
Yeah, I'd back
scatter.
Off. Why
are bystanders and paparazzi all surrounding her car? Given her history of vehicular issues.
That's why paparazzi are doing that, I imagine. They
why do you
want
to be anywhere near her vehicle when she is driving? I think you're just asking for trouble. So, if that's the case, so be it. Kate Upton's got problems.
No, she doesn't.
That's true. She doesn't. Other people have problems with Kate Upton. First, there was her Jack in the Box commercial where she eats that jalapeno burger at the drive-in.
Carl's Jr.?
Carl's Jr., rather.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
They, by the way, they did not bow to pressure. They still show that
good
one
for
like,
them.
Like crazy all the time.
She's getting all hot and sweaty eating her burger.
Yep.
And people were complaining, saying it was too sexy and it should be taken off the air.
That is not possible.
That's so hot.
But people didn't. And we love it. Now she's got another commercial for a skateboard manufacturer called Zoo York.
That's so hot.
Features two cockroaches talking about. No, it's not really hot. They're cockroaches
on
a dumpster.
Okay.
Yeah. Talking about, one of them is talking about skateboards. The other one sees Kate Upton jogging in the park, and he starts talking about her. So skating terms like grinding and the backside and wax take on a brand new meaning because of the confusion.
Are you telling me that people are upset about cockroaches talking?
Yes, because there is some bleeped profanity. The cockroaches use salty language at the end of the commercial.
Right, but they're cockroaches.
And one standards and practices person claimed you could see Kate's erect nipple through her workout outfit there. That they thought was inappropriate.
That seems to happen in normal life all the time.
But nipples are scary, Kevin. Let's face it. They're horrifying. Everyone needs to be protected by nipples.
No.
That's
untrue.
MTV and the Adult Swim Network have both announced they will not be airing the commercial because of its racy content.
I will not watch them until they do.
I don't think that's true. And the HBO horsing race... Nope. The HBO horse racing drama, Luck, has been... pulled, no longer in production.
That was quick.
It was quick and odd because HBO had already renewed it for a second season. But due to incidents on the set that have involved the death of three horses so far, they've decided that it's no longer safe to produce.
That's crazy.
Three horses is a lot.
Yeah. How do you lose three? Haven't they only been filming for like...
still in the first
couple
season.
Couple of months?
Two of them sustained injuries while shooting racing sequences. Apparently the horses stumbled and had fractures that were so bad that they had to euthanize the horses. Mm. And then this most recent one, a horse reared up, fell over, hit its head, and broke its neck, apparently.
Jeez.
And that's how that one passed away.
Oh, this is awful.
I'm sorry, what's the name of the show?
Luck.
Ironic.
The oddly named Luck. So the HBO has pulled the plug. They're no longer going to be producing, which is much to the happiness of PETA and the American Humane Society, because they are starting to ask for a investigation into what was going on.
You
that
can't
set,
really blame them.
Look, I agree.
Big deal.
I like animals. I'm not the biggest animal rights activist in the world, but three horses are dying. You know, no TV show is worth killing horses over, in my opinion.
You know, there's a lot of conversations going on where they're going, we should cancel it. Why? Three horses.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all they have to say.
Yeah. You know, they keep killing horses over there on the Lux set.
Listen, I was the executive on Sopranos for 7 years. We didn't lose one horse. I'm just saying.
That's crazy.
PETA claims that old, unfit, drugged horses were being used for the racing sequences.
They drug them?
Yeah. You know, calm them down. Sometimes they give them sedatives. Not heroin, no. Mm. And PETA is glad that HBO has finally decided to cancel the show. So, that's it for luck.
Yeah.
What, Kevin? Sound like you have something.
Well, it just seems like perhaps a better option would have been to solve the problem of the horses dying.
Well, PETA and other animal activist groups requested several times that the production just use stock racing footage.
Right. That seems like that would be possible.
Instead of staging new races to film.
Right.
But they did not go that route, and that's what caused the death of at least two of the three horses.
Wow.
So,
all right.
That was a problem. And insiders are saying there's still a debate whether CBS and Warner Brothers Television will bring back Two and a Half Men for another season.
Yeah, I'll bet.
The ratings aren't as strong as when Charlie Sheen was there. Ashton Kutcher may have not have been the answer for that show. So,
you know what, though? I also think that show had a long run, and they probably told a lot of stories. They may not have a lot of legs, whether Charlie Sheen was there or not.
Yeah, good point.
Well, the ratings are still strong, not as strong as they were with Charlie Sheen, but insiders are saying that Ashton Kutcher may not be interested in doing another season or not, and that may be the reason for the stall behind whether CBS announces whether the show will be back or not. So I don't know how long he was signed up for. Maybe he just had a one-season deal, and there's still negotiations yet to be had. But we don't know the answer whether that show will be back or not, so we'll have to wait and see. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kellen Lutz is 27 years old today. Loveline lover boy. Mike Catherwood celebrates his 33rd birthday. DJ Joseph Hahn of Linkin Park's 35. Will I Am of Black Eyed Peas turns 37. Eva Longoria, also 37 years old today. Mark Hoppus of Blink and Plus 44 is 40. Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray is 44 years old today. Brett Michaels of Poison is 49. Fabio celebrates his 51st birthday. Dee Snider of Twisted Sister is 57. Mike Love of the Beach Boys is 71 years old today. Do they all have to have catheters and colostomy bags before we stop calling them the Beach Boys?
Oh, I don't think we'll ever. I think they'll have to die before we stop calling them the Beach Boys.
No, we should all start calling them the Beach Men. If we all do it, they can't do anything about it. We'll teach them a lesson. And Rockwell. Woo! Rockwell's birthday today. We love Rockwell around here.
Do we?
Yes.
I always feel like somebody's watching me. And I have no privacy.
Now this is Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Somebody's watching me. Tell me, is it just a dream?
I'm not a thought. I'm not a
I don't know the words either.
Then Ed Wynn would step in and do the rest of the lyrics. He had one hit. Turned out people were watching him, but no one was listening to him.
That song was only hit because of Michael Jackson.
That's what it was. He was Berry Gordy's son, by the way, the guy who created Motown. And that's how Rockwell got his record deal, and hence also how he got Michael Jackson to sing back up for him. But Rockwell's 48 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We welcome to our studios Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill.
Going on, guys?
From the new movie
21 Jump Street.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Jonah, were you afraid we weren't going to get to that? Do you think we forgot why you were here?
You were staring into my eyes and I forgot for a second.
They're easy to get lost
in. We were on the radio and I had to bring it back on target.
21 yeah. Jump Street is the name of the movie.
Yeah,
and
buddy.
It comes out tomorrow.
We haven't seen it yet, but everyone that we talked to that has saying it's one of the funniest comedies they've seen in years.
Oh, man.
Oh, thanks,
how
man.
Awesome
That's
is that?
That's huge.
Honestly,
huge.
We would not be up this early if it sucked. We would just be sleeping and just let them run the commercials. But that's how much we love it. That I mean, it's crazy, man. We wanted to make Bad Boys meets a John Hughes movie, and it's about two guys going back to high school thinking for the second time, thinking they have all the answers and realize they have none of the answers.
Yeah.
They get way more caught up in the social elements than the cop work. And it's just crazy
when
funny,
I
man.
See you guys, I see me. If I were to do that, that's what I would be me. I would get lost in it, and I would make all kinds of mistakes, and I would run into all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, start drinking and doing drugs with the kids and trying to sleep with them.
But here's what happens from our standpoint as movie viewers is we'll see a trailer and go, that looks great. And then you go to a movie, and a lot
sucks.
Of times it sucks. It doesn't deliver.
You know what's
it
crazy? We're one of the best reviewed movies of the year.
That's unbelievable.
We're at 88% on Rotten Tomatoes, and we're a remake of an 80s TV show.
Wait,
according
Tomatoes
to them, up to now, Channing's been a Rotten Tomato. And then now
the whole
he's,
time, bro.
Now he's a big, juicy,
every
fresh
movie you're in?
Not everyone, but generally.
Wow.
Start to take it personally after a while.
No, I was just like, I've just kind of signed my fate over to it. I've been like, yeah, that's cool. What are you going to do? It's fine. It's just,
You know, here's the thing. When you first announced that you guys were doing it,
everyone rolls their eyes and go, oh,
yeah,
crap,
the track record of taking TV shows and trying to make especially comedies out of them has not been terrific.
One of the first jokes in our movie is about how lazy and unoriginal it is to take an old idea and recycle
it's
it.
Literally, yeah. It's great. It might be the first joke.
It's like one of the biggest ones where the cop is telling us about the program 21 Jump Street that he's sending us back to, and he's like, well, a lot of times these people are lazy and unoriginal and can't come up with ideas. So what we've done is we've recycled an old police program from the 80s.
That's got to be extra pressure going into it, knowing that some people, like you said, are going to roll their eyes. And
no, I was the first. You know, look, I've been with the movie for 5 years. I started writing it 5 years ago. And,
wow.
And from 23 to 28, I've been working on this movie.
I didn't know that you wrote it.
Yeah, we both produced it, and I'm one of the writers of the movie.
Fantastic.
And the originator of this version of the project. And for me, I was like, I don't want to remake a TV show. I think it's dumb. But getting to go back to high school and relive that time period, I'm like, that's a fun idea for a movie. Could be a great action comedy, like Bad Boys meets a John Hughes movie. And that's what, 5 years later, we've made that.
It's also been a long time since 21 Jump Street. I mean, I never watched that show.
The truth is, people in their 20s and stuff like don't even know what 21 Jump Street is.
Maybe it's a footnote in Johnny Depp's career. People know he got his break on that, but that's all they know about.
And we have a lot of homages to the show, but we definitely did our own thing, you know, with the movie. And it's like a rock concert. It's so fun.
This has to be crazy for you if you worked on it for 5 years for tomorrow to be like giving birth.
It really is bizarre. I don't know if it's like exactly like giving birth. I haven't done it.
I haven't either, but
I'll ask my mom what it was like.
It's like a big poop.
Yeah, okay. Oh, thanks.
You've done that, right? Like a serious 5-year-long constipation period, and it all comes out.
No, but it's
a long time to work on a project.
It's a long time, and it's crazy because, you know, it's just crazy that it's actually coming out into the world tomorrow. And it's crazy that, like, you know, I think the real crazy surprise of the movie, besides it, you know, thinking a TV show movie is going to suck, is that it's actually good, is that Chan, you've never seen Channing do a big comedy and star in a big comedy, and he's just kills it in it, like destroys me. I've done a few comedies, whatever, but like he just crushes it, and it's such a surprise for people. It's for real, and it's exciting to watch an actor do something you've never seen him
do. How did you two get paired up with this?
I just called him up.
You called him and said,
you knew he'd be funny?
Yeah, how did you know he could be funny?
Yeah.
I don't believe in stuff like that. People outside of making movies have a harder time seeing what they haven't seen someone do.
Right.
But for me, it's like I had just gotten that opportunity with Moneyball to do a drama and got nominated for an Oscar and all this stuff.
Which I was so rooting for you to win, even though I kind of knew you were going to.
Yeah, you got
to
give it to Plummer. Come on.
So rooting for you.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah. But, and thanks for letting me come on and promote that.
Of course.
But it was someone had just given me a shot to do something that I had never done before.
Did you know at the time that Rotten Tomatoes hated him?
No. If you had known. Had I known.
You might have made a different choice.
I wasn't going to bring it up when he called me. I was going to be like, Jonas.
You know how Rotten Tomatoes. But you know what? Comedies usually get horrible reviews anyways. Fact that we're 88% on Rotten Tomatoes is pretty insane, man.
Nice of you to say that an actor can do both. But in fairness, comedy sometimes can be a little more difficult than a drama can be. And Chen, did you have any concerns when you were coming on?
Of course. Yeah, of course, of course. I actually made him promise me that I would be funny.
Or he'd beat me up. Yeah. That was the exact words.
Yeah. Look, jury's still out. We'll see if anybody laughs. So Jonah's fate is in y'all's hands. No, man. I mean, he really did. He held my hand through it. And the directors, Chris and Phil, come from the animation world. I had such a safe place to like really just try anything and fail sometimes.
Was it something that you knew inside you probably had, but you just hadn't?
No, I really did. Or did you doubt?
He
gave me a really good piece of advice in the beginning. He's like, don't try to be funny. Just believe it. And just like you would a normal drama. Or whatever, and you know, let the writing speak for itself. And then I really just sort of chased them along and tried to keep up with what they were doing.
Yeah, I think it's like, I don't know, I think when people try and be crazy funny, it ends up looking stupid. But if you just, he's so genuine in the movie that that's what makes it great, is that he's a real person and you believe our friendship and that the whole thing is real. That's what like Bad Boys is so great, is because you love those two guys together,
right?
And it doesn't feel like they're trying to be funny doing like a shtick. It just feels like they're existing and what's happening is funny and the action's cool and you're just being honest. You
what
know?
Kind of a weird world is it where Ice Cube is the head of the cops? The guy
that was one of the first things we wrote was like, we were like, who should play? Because every movie that we loved growing up, like Beverly Hills Cop and everything, had angry black captain. So we were like, we got to have the angry black captain in our movie. And we're like, who should better to play him than the guy who wrote F the Police?
Right.
You know, like
right.
That was a big joke that we wanted to have Ice Cube, and we called him up and he said yes. And it's just crazy for me to do this because I was sitting with Mike Bacall, the other writer, you know, right? We were writing this stuff, and when we started calling people to do it, they just started saying yes. Like, it was just awesome.
When you're sitting there writing for the first 2 to 3 years, does it feel like...
that suddenly just flashed back to sitting in a room.
I mean, does it feel like you don't have any idea if it's ever going to come to the screen? You don't know that it's going to be good. You don't know it's going to get 88%, but you're just writing out of faith.
As a matter of fact... The studio wanted it to happen every year.
They didn't
want it to take 5 years because it's a big property. So they knew they could make some cash off of it. But for me, it was like, I'm not going to do this and have it be bad.
Right.
So I was the one who kept saying, let's wait more time. Give me more time. It's not ready yet. It's not ready. And that's why it took 5 years because we got it right, I think.
At some point, did you have to say, okay, now I'm just going to stop because it's been too long. I could go on forever.
Yeah. Honestly, some point you have to just push the train forward and then know – it's time, you know.
So
but it had to be
now?
Close enough. Well, it's once it starts going, it's good. The movie's going. You're starting. You know, it's like the trucks show up and they set up the lights and someone yells action. And then you're eventually going.
You're still in your trailer banging out scenes. Yeah. Wait a minute, I got another idea.
We did.
Well,
that's true. Yeah, I mean, I would write scenes like that day sometimes or rewrite them, you know.
Well, this looks fantastic. Channing Tatum, Jonah Hill are here. We're going to take a quick break and come back. 21 Jump Street opens tomorrow everywhere. Go see it or you're no... We have in the studio with us Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill from 21 Jump Street, which opens tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Besides you guys, the cast that you've assembled for this movie is just fantastic. Some of the funniest people working today. Just from the trailer, I see Offerman in there, Nick Offerman, who's just hilarious.
Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec, Ice Cube.
Riggle, right? You got Rob Riggle in there?
Rob Riggle's...
How funny
crazy
is that guy?
I
can't.
From Step Brothers.
You very rarely see me in a three shot with these two because I can't keep my stuff together.
Really?
Like,
I crack up.
Yeah,
I never had anyone make me break as hard as Rob does. Rob Riggle's genius.
Geniusly
man.
Funny. Yeah.
And
Lieutenant Colonel in the military too.
Yeah.
You mean he really was or he is?
Yeah.
He is.
Active
what?
Duty.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Rob Riggle?
Straight
yeah.
up.
If you ever see his stand-up, he's got some great stuff about him being in the service.
What?
Yeah.
Yep. Still?
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
What?
Still active.
Kevin, stop asking that.
My head's exploding.
Ask and answer.
He's not only like the funniest guy, but he's like the greatest guy. And then Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec, Jake Johnson from New Girl, who's hysterical in the movie, Ellie Kemper from The Office, Ice Cube, obviously.
Sure.
Who else?
Davey Franco.
Oh, Dave Franco's really funny.
Brie Larson.
Oh, yeah, Brie Larson.
Man.
Great
cast. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
I'm
you shot it in
man.
New Orleans?
Yeah, we shot in New Orleans.
What was that like?
What's New Orleans
like? I kind of remember shooting it in New Orleans.
I remember a good 6 hours. I got to say a good
the
6 hours.
The first day, I remember.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was like...
It's a little moonshiny.
Yeah, Channing found the moonshine hookup about one day into shooting.
Wait a minute, time out.
He would just...
Made it a still moonshine?
We would have jars of moonshine delivered to set, and it was just all downhill.
It was called Ducks Fly Low.
Really?
He would tell me that his daughter would... He'd draw like a little duck on the thing with like X's for eyes and stuff. Like I was just like, that's dark, dude. But you're making this in your bathtub at home. And we didn't go blind though. So that's
that's the upside.
That's a positive.
Although I did have to get LASIK right after the movie. I'm serious.
Why?
His vision went.
Literally went blind from drinking so much moonshine.
You know, you guys are both in the stage of your careers. You could probably afford to buy alcohol that's made, you know, in a factory.
But that's no
you know,
fun, man.
That's no
like,
fun at all.
It was so fun. They would bring a jar. It'd be so fun, and it was like
a hand drawn label.
Was it different each time?
Like totally
it was
totally different. Yeah. It's just a different buzz. Like,
yeah,
it's like
it's different.
It's like
it's different.
Body. Like your body gets hot. Like and then you're just like, what is happening?
It's honestly
it sounds
the
like
best.
The flu.
Yeah. You're drinking like, you know, the bird flu.
As far as you know, you might be.
Quite possible. Maybe that's what Ducks Fly Low was.
It was the dying ducks that fly low. And they used that in the pressings.
It was the ducks with like mad cows.
What's the crazy thing about disease? The crazy thing about shooting in New Orleans is on Fridays, you generally shoot from like about 5 PM till dawn. Mm-hmm. Like, so everyone on the entire crew in New Orleans would just go to the bar
that would still be open and there would be people inside.
At like 8 a.m. At 8 a.m. People still drinking.
And you party till 12. So from 8 to 12, like noon. And then everyone's so fall down drunk and we're just like, all right, everybody go home and we'll meet right back here in 6 hours.
Was there a day when one of you couldn't make it? One day.
At to work?
Yeah.
No.
Really?
Well,
to the bar?
There was one day where I lost my voice. That was really messed
up.
Yeah,
that was the closest. That was the closest to it, though.
But it was because...
You lost your voice because of the movie or because of
just
the
because of hard
moonshine?
Work and moonshine mixed together.
You burned his throat drinking no, Ducks Fly Low.
Yeah.
Drinking that duck juice. Voice.
But it was because there were certain moments where, like, schedule shifted around where we didn't know we were shooting.
Oh, I see.
Like I would never be that irresponsible on purpose.
If you knew it.
Yeah, like right. I thought I had the day off or something.
I literally asked the director one day. I was like, hey, okay, so my, you know, some people came into town last night. What do we have up tomorrow? Oh, you just got this little scene. You know, you're in and out. Nope. We have like an 8-9 page scene. Oh. I've never been so hungover in my life doing a scene, and you can tell. Like,
can you? What are you doing in the scene? Can you tell us? So
it's not in the movie. Oh,
did not make the final cut. Well, you were about to tell me, and he jumped right in there.
Well, it's basically not in the movie, but it's a really scaled down version of it. I was hurting, man. That was bad. It was really bad.
Maybe Rotten Tomatoes has a point. Maybe that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Man. That's that kind of behavior.
Maybe I should actually start drinking more during the. Because maybe that's the key. First time that I've gotten good.
But
reviews.
The moonshine. It's got to be the moonshine from that group that are making it in their tub. Well, I got to tell you, we totally appreciate you guys coming in. We're so happy.
It.
Cannot. Possibly wait for this movie to come out tomorrow. 21 Jump Street. You can follow on Twitter at Jonah Hill or at Channing Tatum and go see the movie tomorrow.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming.
Honor to be here.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Love you guys.
Ralph Garman is here with a final look at the showbiz beat for the day.
Yes, I am.
How about Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill?
So cool.
Couldn't have been nicer
really
to those guys.
You could tell they didn't want to admit it, but you could tell they were ragged. They were run tired of doing interviews and stuff, and they were just happy to be here and great.
Well, when
great
they
guests.
Came in, they said this is the last gasp. I mean, they've been doing this nonstop for weeks now, and I can tell they're burnt out and they're exhausted. But
we asked them about it off the air. We were like, "Hey, you guys must be tired." And they would not complain.
No.
They were thrilled
and
happy.
They were genuinely happy to be here, and we were lucky to have them. What a great day! We had Allison Brie on.
Yep.
She could not have been more charming and lovely. And
Steve-O.
Steve-O was great
until
today.
That last thing he said, everything was great.
Yeah, we don't need to get into that. And these guys, we got Will Ferrell tomorrow. What a week it's been.
It really has been good.
The air has been cleaner and fresher. It's been less creepy around here. There's just all kinds of good things are happening. All right, let's ruin that by doing the showbiz beat. Congratulations to our friend Charlize Theron, who is now a new mom, proud mom of a baby boy named Jackson. Her representatives have confirmed that she is now a mom. She adopted the baby boy recently, and now she gets to go through the joy of 4 a.m. feedings and diaper rash and teething and screaming and no sleep and yelling and frustration. Welcome to the world of parenting, Charlize. We're happy
like
to have
you. Come from a place of knowledge.
With this kid just get all her teeth already. That's how you know there's no God, because they would go to bed one night and the next morning they'd wake up and they'd have all their teeth. And then we'd all just move on with our lives. One at a time they come in, each one more painful than the next.
Just... Yeah, they say adults couldn't handle it.
Yeah, can you imagine?
No.
Just an eye tooth just poking through your gum? It's horrible.
We'd all be crying like babies.
This is not excusing my child's behavior in any stretch of imagination.
She's been cranky and she needs to stop it.
She still needs to get a little Jack Daniels in her once in a while to put her down, you know? I'm not saying a lot. I'm just saying, you know, half a bottle.
Sure.
I mix it
a
with
pint.
Water. I know it's not straight jack, but whatever it takes to put her out for, you know, 12, 14 hours. I'm all for it. More baby news. Superman actor Brandon Routh has announced that he is pregnant. That would be a story.
That would be.
His wife is pregnant. She is Courtney Ford, the actress from Parenthood. They're having their first child, so congratulations to those guys. And Jessica Simpson is having a baby. She will tell you. Just ask her. Have you seen that show, the Fashion Star show?
I have not seen it. I've sure seen the ads for it. Did you watch it?
I watched just the one. It's self-inflicted punishment. I don't know why I do this, but
why would you?
Makes me crazy, like really angry, just yell at my television set crazy, and has ever since I've heard her speak with that newlywed show she had with her then-husband, Nick Lachey.
Yes.
But she's awful. She's just so repugnant. So I had to tune in to see if that was still the case, and yeah, it certainly is.
But
well,
she
now
is,
I have to watch it.
She has announced, she's teasing everybody, she won't say what the name of their baby girl is going to be, but In Touch Weekly magazine finally got the story, and she was saying it's going to be controversial and unconventional, and you won't believe it, and she's naming her baby girl Maxwell.
Baby girl?
Yes, which is only odd in the sense that Maxwell obviously is usually a boy's name, and now her daughter will be named Maxwell. She says they'll probably call her Maxie, though.
Well,
that's going to sound great on the poll. That's all
not?
I want to tell
Please
you.
Please think through that. You don't want to be called Maxie as a girl.
No.
Come
Maxie.
On.
Well, that hasn't crossed their mind yet?
No, nothing crosses her mind.
Think through that for 1 second.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage. Maxie. Maxie coming up to stage number one. Everybody get those dollar bills out. Gentlemen, she's not doing it for laughs. Maxie. Stage one. And Gillian Anderson.
Yeah.
It's being very open interview with Out Magazine, where she announced that she's had her fair share of lesbian experiences.
That is what I'm talking about.
Me too. She was in a long-term love affair with another woman back in high school, she says. And why are you beeping? That's a good thing.
That was the wrong button.
Don't sound sexy.
That was what I was trying to play.
Much better.
Sorry about that. Take that back.
Since then, she's had several affairs with women, but she said for the most part she realized that she wasn't 100% gay, and now she's been married twice and has three kids, and she said it was a very important part of her sexual development. So, ladies?
Yes.
That's so hot.
I'm just saying.
You don't know till you try.
That's right.
Several times.
Gillian Anderson is there to teach you the ways of the world.
Okay.
Do it.
Do it now.
Right now. Find whatever girl's near you and just do it. Take pictures. Today's celebrity birthday is Kellan Lutz. Hardly the name of a heartthrob, and yet there he is, being all vampire-y.
Yep. Twilight lady.
In Twilight. 27 years old today. Loveline lover boy! Mike Catherwood, our buddy psycho Mike Catherwood, celebrates his 33rd birthday today. I heard he's going to go nuts. He's going to celebrate. He's going to have two helpings of broccoli.
Oh, man.
And a chicken breast. Oh,
maybe an almond.
Whew, he's gone off the rails for his birthday. When that kid celebrates, it's nuts. He gets the sparkling mineral water.
He drove us crazy because no one is more disciplined than him.
Yeah.
Like, to a point of absurdity.
He would count out how many
four
peanuts
he was right.
going to eat.
And half an egg white.
Yep.
Just F and eat a sandwich.
For God's sakes. No one's watching. DJ Joseph Hahn of Linkin Park's 35 years old today. Will.i.am of Black Eyed Peas turns 37. Eva Longoria of Desperate Housewives is 37 years old. Bell, please. Hello.
Not
Come on.
Attention.
Pay
sorry.
Attention,
sorry,
people.
Sorry.
Mark Hoppus of Blink 182 and Plus 44 is 40. Actress Kim Raver, remember her from 24?
Yes.
Excellent actress, 43 years old today. Mark McGrath is 44. Brett Michaels of Poison turns 49 today. Dee Snider of Twisted Sisters, 57. Fabio is 51 years old. And Rockwell! Oh, one-hit wonder Rockwell. How we love Rockwell's smash hit song, Somebody's Watching Me. He is 48 years old today. I always feel like somebody's watching me. Yeah. That's not so much Rockwell as it is Michael Jackson, because that's what made that song a hit. It was Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that wasn't Rockwell at all, really.
But that was his song. That he would say, I'm in the shower, and everybody's looking at me. What's that person? Oh, are those eyes? I'm not quite sure exactly how the song went, but it was something like that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Will Ferrell in the studio.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Talking about Casa Mi Padre de la...
Casa de Mi Padre.
Padres.
Oh, it's going to be a long
Casa
interview.
Casa Padre.
Casa de mi padre.
Will Ferrell.
He plays Armando.
Si. We also are going to call Cat Corbett in South by Southwest. I don't know if you remember. last time Cat was at South by Southwest at Austin, Texas, a big music festival. She was out late drinking. And when we called her, she made this noise. That's real. That's a human being that made this noise when we called her, and it was the best. So we got that tomorrow.
You're driving the Millennium Falcon. Cat next to you. You're Han Solo.
We have LaQuisha on Jersey Shore. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We have Maggie Q from my favorite show, Nikita.
Wow.
We're excited about that. So a big show tomorrow as well. We'll see you tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean.